far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, Tim Box Sausage Fest 17. Teen. All right. It is April 4th, past midnight, and I am not recording this. So, what makes this episode so special? Absolutely nothing. This is just another episode where we sit around and talk about whatever. It's pure concentrated autism, all in 2 or some hours. I mean, it could just be just a waste of your time, but I don't care. So I figured, what better way to start off this episode by doing some promos? So we got, in terms of promos, we've been doing Anime Cart at animecart.com. Check them out. Get what you need from them on anime stuff. They probably got like a billion Naruto headbands that need to go to people that can wear them at cons and act stupid. So if you're 14 and you really need a Naruto headband to fit in with your dumbass friends, then get one. And you can get it from animecart.com by using our promo code AOYPODCAST, all in capital letters. You cannot F that up. It's even written on the sidebar of our freaking site. If you click that link or highlight your mouse over it, it should highlight it. And I think I just wrote in caps. Whatever. That's what the code is. So that's our Anime Cart promo. Doing it for them. And we still haven't gotten any compensation, which I guess I take it that nobody has used that site. But I will still promote them because we could get a big fat check. Who knows? Anyways, I promise there might be something better coming out. Actually, there will be, because the next episode after this is probably more than likely going to be us talking about Anime Boston, since our co-host Daft and a past co-host named Cloud went there, and they're more likely to talk about it. And then we got movie reviews, because freaking Ghost in the Shell came out last week, and everyone's mad over it. And then Power Rangers came out the week before, and I'm mad over it. So we got some stuff to say, but that should be coming up in due time. Probably later this month, who knows. But enjoy the episode, and see you guys next time. And I promise maybe something better else will come out. So, later.
Can you hear me? Is it
sound bad fine. Quality?
Oh yeah, you sound fine now. Because it's not your freaking internet.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's downloading that stupid Jetsons thing, and it's going at 500 kilobytes a second.
Dude,
so
just set it off. We're not going to watch it. It's not like you need it now.
I don't think it would work even if it wasn't downloading, because I haven't had like a single successful call since moving here.
Wait, how long have you been there?
Like 6 months, 8 months.
That's it. Is it that bad?
It's like every time we do it, I have to do this because the connection gets too bad.
Ah, dude, that sucks. Who do you have for internet?
Someone from CenturyLink like came out here a few weeks ago, and they were like talking about how our connection is really bad, and they said they were going to fix it, but they did, and it didn't improve any.
You should just, like, call them every hour until they fix it.
Yeah. Well, they don't, you know, I've, like, talked to them many times, and their service has always been bad, but it's, like, even worse here than where I lived before, so.
That sucks, man.
Yeah, it's true,
there aren't many options.
Yeah,
I could switch to Cox, but
yeah, like whenever we do Slack chat, like you've been on your phone like since you moved out there,
right?
Oh, right. You guys have been recording for Slack, right?
Yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. Yeah, but
you can only do two people on Slack unless you pay.
No, like, trust me, I'd rather do Slack than freaking Skype, but then, like, we're part of that free group trial thing, and then we did it for,
right.
Actually, we did it for Suicide Squad, and that actually turned out okay, and then it was like, oh, your month is up, please pay us more money than what you're willing to spend, and
that.
Like, yeah, really.
Have you guys been copying and pasting the chat archive? I'm not sure if anyone was doing that or not. Yeah.
That's what sucks about Slack, is that you can't, save the stuff for free, because it's like,
right.
It doesn't have some like application part of it where you can just set it up to log stuff because they want to
pay for
the logs.
It does, but you have to pay. That's right. Why this is set business class.
But
should
there's
look
not
at
like a third party like Slack app like there is for AIM that will automatically like back stuff up for you.
Yeah.
For free.
Yeah, that's a bummer. We should look at Discord. Because Discord
is like free or.
Yeah, Discord's free. They haven't launched their pay model yet. Their attempt at the pay model, my understanding is they're trying to circumvent it with merch. But like it's more so they just sell your data like Facebook does.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not bad.
What do you mean by merch?
They have merch apparently. I don't know. This is what I've been told.
Like with the Discord logo on it or something?
Apparently. I don't... let's look at what their merch is. Well, apparently...
Only some tool like
their baby clothing
buy,
sold
like,
out.
A Discord flag.
Are you going to wave a Discord flag for in honor of JT?
That's what he would do if he was still around. We should probably inform our audience about the departure of JT. Since we've been, like, ridiculing him on here.
I just know that it's one of Dav's greatest wishes from the Star Wars review. And it only took 3 months for it to happen. So
well, you know, it's not something that, like, I don't know, I'm slightly conflicted, because, like, as I stated in the chat, and we'll additionally state here for the record, JT was a filler chat member, but we needed, but, like, we're at the point where we need chat members in general. So
hey,
even losing a filler chat member it does take a slight hit.
And boy, did that filler arc go on for a long time.
Like 10 years.
Yeah, too long. What has more filler arc, JT or Naruto?
I thought it was Bleach, but then again, Bleach ended.
And that would be JT's favorite filler to be compared to is Bleach.
He would actually, in his honor, I think we should
take
just
that as
dedicate his filler arc to the filler in Bleach, because that would be the nicest thing we've ever said to him.
He's like, I'm just like that episode of Bleach where they fly kites. I'm so honored that you would say that about me.
Is that an actual episode of Bleach?
Yeah, it was like the stupid New Year's episode or something, and they're like flying kites for 20 minutes. It was terrible.
Wow.
But he thought it was brilliant.
Of course.
You know, I was looking up Discord chat. I guess it does have a chat history thing, and they save it on a cloud system, so which means it can...
Yeah, Discord is basically Slack, but it has video, audio components, too.
Yeah, I know about that.
There's bots set up. I can ask my buddies about it.
Does it do group audio?
Yeah, I believe it does. I don't know about the record function, but since Discord's popular with gamers, I'm sure they have a record function, or like a workaround.
My workaround is using OBS to record this call.
I mean, whatever works, man.
Yeah, I just got to convert it from video to MP3, and it's good to go.
I mean, Discord, I'm slightly selfish, or my suggestion for Discord is slightly selfish, because my other chat groups are also in Discord, because then I'd only need one app. I do prefer Slack, though, but because of the chat archive reasoning, I think it might be more beneficial for us to move to Discord going forward.
Does it have like all the emojis and stuff like Slack?
Yeah, they actually did add that. That was my main complaint about Discord, was they did not have that, but they recently added it a couple months ago.
Oh, and thank God. That is a selling point.
It is. It's you can.
I gotta have 9 different shades of Viku skin color and autism. And the Russian flag and the Xeon flag and poop. Gotta have that.
And the Donald movie. Trump.
Oh yeah, and the feels bad man. Gotta
and
have
the
all
flag.
That all that crap. And I think Josh is the one that's added up most of those emojis.
I think Josh added some of them, probably mostly Josh.
Metal Rod, I mean... That's some good stuff we use.
The Shrek emojis, can't do it without them.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I always forget, when did the TZ chat actually start?
I think that there have been, like, TZ AIM chats going back to, 2001 or 2002 or something, but, like, nobody in the chats other than JT was going to the really early ones. And so, like, the second generation of TZ chats was, like, 2005, 2006.
That's when I thought it started.
That was when, like, Yash and Josh started going, and then I started going in, like, late 2006, and Tony and Ishtar and NIV and Xeonic and all the other people started coming, like, around late 2006, early 2007.
So, really, JT and Mason would probably be the only holdovers from that initial pre-05.
And that's, like, the Adult Swim IRC channel is, like, what the AIM chats, those ones evolved into, the really early ones. And, like, they've been talking about going over to Discord as well, but most of them are like, no, I don't want to. And there's, like, one guy that insists that they move to Discord, and everyone else is like, but I'm so used to IRC, because I guess they've been using it for so long.
I feel like I've never fully figured out IRC.
Yeah.
Every time I try using it, some people get
stuck in their ways where they just use one program for a long time and don't want to learn a new one. Yeah. That's kind of how we were with AIM for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Until we were fucking forced to move.
Now we're ultimately forced to move because it doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest,
Discord is just a like fancier IRC essentially. Is what it boils down to me, because it has different channels like IRC. You can set different settings. It's just more polished.
Uh-huh.
Is really That's the good. Only difference.
Because I feel like IRC is so rough. It's like
I don't like IRC.
IRC to Excuse me is her. Like you trying to play the very EverQuest version 1 compared to like EverQuest today, and they're two opposite games. Like I think I tried classic EverQuest, and after like an hour, I was like, God, F this shit. Like, I was like, I'm done. I can't play this.
I've never liked IRC, but that's because I grew up starting with AIM. So, for me, IRC is primitive. But I see its value, and I understand why people don't want to move. It does irk me, I will say that.
I'm going to read JT's rage quit message, which he did not send to us.
Which, honestly, I'm very offended by that. I'm very offended. Like, that's, I think, like, he couldn't even leave the chat properly.
Yes.
He just kind of went into the abyss and then bitched out to a friend of a... Is friend of a podcast a strong term? I don't even know.
No, that's far from the truth.
Yeah, I definitely don't consider her my friend.
Well, it's the fact
I don't think
that,
she
like,
considers any of you that either.
Well, I know she hates my guts, but, like, it's a matter of, like, I know we have issues with, like, if we have issues with each other, which is usually all the time, but... When and if we do, we usually, like, say something about it, or we say something about it to someone else who's going to say something about it on your behalf.
Well, see, what I think is really great about the podcast, or just about our chat in general, is they're very transparent. Like, I openly say that I don't really care for you, Xeonic, but that's just how it is. We're just very honest.
Well, you've pissed me off, you son of a bitch, quite a few number of times. So, just to get that out there, since we're being honest, and I'm doing this sober...
Yes.
Well, that's a good point. Anyway. Should I get some Johnny Walker Blue Label going or not?
I don't want to dig in my Jameson. That's for the weekend.
See, Jameson's good. Have you had a car bomb? Irish car bomb, Xeonic?
No, I haven't.
I haven't done it either, but my friends used to do them constantly. But I was just always afraid for our listener, an Irish car bomb is a shot of Jameson and Bailey's in, I believe, a Guinness.
Huh.
I believe it's specifically that. But so the key thing with it is you drop the shot of Bailey's and Jameson into the Guinness. But if you don't drink it quick enough, the Bailey's curdles in the beer, and that just sounds gross beyond all belief. And I cannot chug a Guinness.
I've tried a Guinness once, and I was like, never again.
Guinness is one of the only beers I actually like, but it's like you nurse it. You don't, like, chug it. It's not like Natty Light.
I can't chug anything. I've never been able to chug anything. And If that requires me to do an Irish car bomb, I'm like, forget this.
It's too much effort.
It can't be worse than a Ruination IPA, because that sucker's like the strongest hops count. And talk about a disgusting beer, at least on my...
What's the ABV on that?
I have no idea. I just know someone, actually Sean Ryan from former of Alpha Kenner a few years ago in Animazement was like, here dude, try this. And it was just like, kind of a rite of passage. It was like, if you can drink about half of this and share it with me, then like, I'll consider you as my equal. And I did my very best. And he's like, you know what, you've had enough.
Yeah. So he wanted to share his fluids with you?
Right, it's a podcast rite of passage, at least not through our podcast, but
yeah. Now,
we didn't share the same freaking bottle. I had a glass, and he's like, "Here, man, I'm pouring like I'm giving you about half of what this giant Ruination bottle is." And
yeah,
I'm
half like, of this fluids. I definitely like as soon as you said IPA, I had zero interest because I just don't really like craft beer or like the IPAs. It's too much ABV.
I can't do IPA. Like, I've never had good luck with IPA.
Yeah. It's not my bag.
Wow.
But let's get back to the topic of the moment with JT's failure to depart, I would say.
Yeah, I brought up the image, and I'm just going to read what he said. So the context here is that somebody that probably doesn't want to be mentioned here, but
We've mentioned her before a number of times.
Right.
Starts with an S, ends with a Pamantha. I already said it a while.
She, like 7 years ago, he's responding to a 2010 message, told him that she was deleting him from Facebook because she was pruning her list. And then I guess he like sent her his LinkedIn profile and requested her to refriend him. And this happened like last year, and I guess they didn't talk until now. And then JT randomly says, "Don't know how that LinkedIn post got there. Anyway, I don't blame you for the pruning." And this is in response to her mentioning pruning in 2010. "Josh and them have been ganging up on me, as it turns out, behind my back, and I deleted them. It wasn't behind his back. We did it in a public channel that he had access to.
Yeah, that he could should have
done
look.
It right away." When they started randomly ignoring me, we didn't ignore him. We responded to all his stupid.
Wait, he said randomly ignore? I missed that in the message.
No, I don't randomly ignore him. I intentionally ignore him. I've been doing that for as long as I can remember. Because anything he says is non-compliant to what I care about.
And then he says, "But I try to be nice and listen to them when they talk to me. And that's what I got in return." And then the message is over. And she didn't bother to respond to him, as far as I can tell.
Talk about ignoring.
I didn't realize that he said randomly ignoring me. I don't think that there was any point that we all intentionally ignored him or not.
He wasn't given the silent treatment. It's just, he just goes on there and blabbles whatever he wants. And I'm like, no, like, I mean, like, he does it, like, Saturday nights. And then, like, on Sunday morning, I'm, like, you know, looking through this stuff, and I just skim through everything he says because I'm just like, it has no relevancy to me at all. So, like,
you
why should I
care? You can't even understand it unless you're watching Toonami because it'll be like, wow. Like, he won't say what he said.
He doesn't string his thoughts in one paragraph sentence. It's just a matter of, like, two-word responses, like, all the time. That's all he does.
Yeah. Well, that's if he even acknowledges what's going on. It's either he, like, will say a very unfunny joke or pun pertaining to the subject if he doesn't know what it is, or he just spams with his own stuff that either, like, usually he'd either post something that was, like, 3 days old that, like, we've all seen, or like, some, or reference, like, some old political news-related thing that happened weeks ago, or would talk about something that, like, he's discussed every day for the past 2 weeks, and it's not like he would constantly
like
update us.
Yeah,
he would constantly update about the Kickstarter, and some people, like, personally, I'm not a huge fan of Mystery Science Theater, but, like, you guys would occasionally chime in and comment on it. But, like, he would just post every day about it, and eventually, it seems like you guys didn't have much to say about it.
No!
Because it was always like, they added a new bonus, and it would be like, they're gonna send an extra T-shirt. It's like, okay, guys didn't donate, so why do I care?
Yeah, and then I'm like, you know, what the F doesn't matter? I mean,
And like, I tried to respond, I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, that's like the main thing that I just say to him. Oh, okay.
You know, that's pretty neat, huh?
There's not much you can say to a lot of his stuff.
But like, I have to give JT credit. He can actually put together coherent sentences. That's more than like what some of the chat can do. So it is impressive.
I'm glad he doesn't post just like dot, 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 and then one word, and then dot, 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 and then...
He can do more than just link to a bunch of tweets or hundreds of tweets.
I'll be honest, like, the stuff Mason posts has more interest for me than most of anything JT says.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
Well, Mason only comes in once in, like, a week and to post something science-related, and then we don't hear from him. But at least, like, I look at it, I'm like, oh, that's interesting, regardless if I click on it half the time.
I think, like, the most recent science-related article he posted is the first time I've actually been mildly interested in one of the science articles in, like, ever. And I assume this one's fake. Yeah, and I'm assuming this is fake. Or, like, it was, like, he got offered in 2015 by what's-his-face? Richard Branson, the Virgin guy. But, like, so all this news article said, I said yes. That's all it was. That's like
was
the
that
new
picture
update
with Pierce Morgan that you posted of him and Stephen Hawking. Is that real?
That is apparently a real picture. I mean, I got to give credit to Pierce Morgan. Like, it hasn't been a great month for him. Like, he got booed on Real Time and like shit on Twitter. But you know, he sat down with one of the leading scientists in the world and offered him a beer, and that's such a nice gesture.
It is.
It looked like a Guinness.
Oh, well, that would be an insult to me.
Yeah.
Then again, I'm not Stephen Hawking, so.
Well, I guess in your case, I guess the beer didn't go the waste.
Yeah, because I probably wouldn't have drank it. I would have probably, like.
But no, I'm saying Stephen Hawking didn't put the beer away since it's shit.
Yeah. Stephen Hawking's probably just really nice to know that, like, he can smell the beer if he can and be like, oh, that's enough.
That's actually a great question. Do you think Stephen Hawking has a sense of smell?
Let's see if
Google can answer that.
Well, I mean, like, he's able to communicate with his hands, so he's not entirely deaf, dumb, and retarded, but, like, his brain still works, but I would imagine some of his senses does. So I would assume maybe his nose does, too.
There's nothing that says otherwise.
Google, can Stephen Hawking smell? And the first thing is answers.com. I'm pulling it up.
Well, I googled, does Stephen Hawking have the ability to smell? And the first article pertains to Darwin being a smell genius. I don't really want to know what that means, so I'm not
clicking. The second article on what I searched is from godlikeproductions.com with a title of Stephen Hawking is completely retarded and does not speak through, and then it goes dot, dot, dot.
Yeah,
I got to know
if you click through the link, John, I think clicking through the link is also very interesting. There is a membership contract that is very elaborate. It notes that you will not provide, submit, otherwise make available any unsolicited or unauthorized advertising, promotional materials, junk mail, spam, chain letters, pyramid schemes, affiliate links, or any other form of solicitation. There's also something on the bottom pertaining to the country of Jersey.
Uh-huh, and what? Also a Timothy Leary video.
Oh, that's a great sign, yeah.
And the top, it has a banner that says UFOs, conspiracy theorists, and the lunatic fringe. So I was glad to know that there are people out there that describe themselves as the lunatic fringe.
Well, clearly Dean Ambrose is a purveyor of this website.
I'm trying to get into it, but it's like you have to agree to a contract just to view the forum.
Yeah, I'm slightly. Mm. I'm gonna have to drunkenly investigate that one sometime.
I would say to promote our podcast on there, but that would be considered soliciting. But,
yeah,
oh, man, would you care?
They post your address.
Oh, no, F that. Screw it.
What?
That ain't worth your time, Daft.
Wait, what do you mean address? Like,
well,
IP or, like, physical?
I thought at first
it does
the user
your
ID, and then it says it's at your country. So it's like, is the user ID your IP, or is that just a random
number? No, it says your IP address. So that's like if you go on the forum. Like, I mean, like, if you went on Toon Zone, like, people get IP banned on Toon Zone.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
at
like
the top
that.
Of the Okay, at the top of the thread.
It's very you have like,
the option of rating it absolute BS, crap, reasonable, nice, or amazing. I'm putting absolute BS and I'm voting.
Oh no, John, they have your IP address now, you're fucked.
They're gonna like track me down and give me some Timothy Leary LSD.
They're gonna go for your garbage like the Scientologist, man.
Well, okay, the full title of the thread. Stephen Hawking is completely retarded and does not speak through his computer. So this is like Ghost's theory that Stephen Hawking is being used by the New World Order to propagate their ideology. He's gone on this rant so many times.
Seems legit. I'm surprised. Has Ghost actually been consistently recording?
Here's the OP. He's just smashing keys all derp, 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 and TPTB pre-program. That fucking voice to say whatever they want him to say, and the little Hawking tars will believe it. Ever notice how his viewpoints are directly in line with the TPTB's agenda? The guy is a vegetable. True theory. And then there's like an image of, I can't even tell what it is, but it's like somebody in a tutu dancing. It looks kind of like Kramer from Seinfeld, but I can't tell exactly.
It might be. If it's a grown man in a pink tutu, usually that's the image from Seinfeld.
Okay, I thought it might be.
I would imagine so.
Oh man, what a thread.
Okay, so let's circle back to JT again. I'm sorry I keep going back to this very pressing. I'm sorry I keep going back to this subject. But I'm just like I'm rereading the message because I was on mobile when I first was alerted of this yesterday. So I'm reading this more in full where I can focus. I was at a barcade yesterday. Shout out to Bitbar in Salem. 5 out of 5 atmosphere. Drinks are fucking expensive, but very good. They had an arcade cabinet for Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Oh yeah, I saw you had a picture of that.
Very delightful. That's
speaking of Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. Speaking of that, I found a Laserdisc copy of it for $5 at a book place or like a books movie place a few weeks ago.
That's not a bad price for it.
No, it's not. Like I saw it and I was like, holy crap, this is the legit thing. And it's $5 even, and I have a Laserdisc player to play it on. So I'm like, heck yeah.
Does your Laserdisc player actually work?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think there might be. I think there might be
something.
Because
those are pretty fragile.
Yeah, I think there might be something up with the audio, but like there's a front audio jack, and it's just a matter of me getting like a headset in there, and I think I'll be okay.
Oh yeah, that's not bad at all. I've put off buying a Laserdisc player because I know a lot of them don't read the disc very well.
Depending, my LaserActive has been working pretty good for me since I bought it. Like,
so you have no way of playing your Space Jam Laserdisc? What a tragedy.
Well, I have it signed. That's what matters.
You can. Do you have it mounted on the wall?
I don't actually. I haven't put up any of my records. Well, I had a few of my records, like sitting on top or standing on top of a bookcase, but I took those down once I got my turntable. So they're just kind of sitting underneath my desk right now. But that should be my centerpiece for it. Oh man, that's a good point. But I'm rereading this message, and so he's implying that we were talking to him behind his back, but did someone tell him that? Like, that's what I don't get. Like, when he says talk behind his back, like, does that imply that someone in the chat, like, messaged him and said that we were shitting on him? Or was it a case where he was reading, were we shitting on him publicly in the chat, and then he actually read it? And then claimed that was behind his back.
What I think happened is the day where One Piece was canceled, which was like, I don't know, about 9 days ago or something, I saw him online and he didn't say anything. So I think he might have been on that day and he saw that we, like when he was gone, made some reference to like you getting a raise, and I made a joke that I said, so you make more money than JTerry954 now? And I like spelled out his whole name. Just so he would see it, just to like mess with him. So I'm gonna take credit for him leaving, but you responded saying, "Oh, I've been making more than him for a while because I'm not making minimum wage."
Yeah, so but that's, I think, not a new bit though.
That's something we do all the time, like to his face too. So it's like that's not new. So I don't get why he would be offended by that, other than that he wasn't there. But I specifically put his name there so that he would see it, like, so that it wouldn't seem like it was behind his back.
I'm trying to remember. Was there another point where Josh and Well, because he tied Josh into it, so I don't know if Josh shit on him too at that point, or if there's another point where that occurred.
My impression of why he brings up Josh specifically is that in the Curry's message, she says, "Oh, sorry for removing you. I'm putting a lot of people. I also removed Josh." He like was awkwardly trying to tie in like his response to like her previous message from 2010, so that it didn't seem like he was messaging her like out of the blue about some unrelated nonsense.
But he did.
Yeah, but it, but she still like messaged me like, "Why is he doing this? Like, why me?" And all I can assume is he doesn't have anyone else to talk to that he trusts. Because I remember he removed me on Facebook years ago, but when I was friends with him, he had one person from real life and everybody else was from Toonzone. So I assume he's removed everybody except for Curry and that one person and Ishtar, because he left Ishtar a happy birthday message over the weekend. So I think he has probably three friends on there now, and so he knows Ishtar's in the chat with us, so I guess he went to Curry for that reason. But she doesn't care, you know, like, she hasn't been in the chat for years, and she hasn't talked to him in years, so it's just, like, totally weird and random thing to message her about. But that's JT for you.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess it is appropriate that JT failed at effectively leaving the chat. Like, you think, like, typically when people leave our chat, I will say, they typically go in General Sherman-esque blaze of fire.
Yeah, that's how it's done.
Swear someone out, but this is just kind of like a low-key, like, messaging someone after 7 years of not speaking to them, blaming, I would say blaming the incorrect person. I don't think Josh would be Josh was not particularly mean. I don't know, like, if maybe he felt he was being ignored because Josh didn't respond to every single link he posted. Because I think out of everyone in the chat, night. Josh probably responds the most.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about it last night with Josh, and I told him, like, "Hey, Josh, did you see that JT blamed you for having left the chat?" And then I linked him to the image, and he was like, "WTF?" And, you know, because yeah. It's just, like, it's so random. And then we kind of, like, speculated about, like, well, why do you think that this is, and he first we could tell was not pleased that Josh wasn't responding to all his Walking Dead chatting the previous week or something, or 2 weeks ago, or however long it was, because he goes in there and he comments on, like, every time a zombie eats somebody or whatever, and he expects Josh to reply to everything. And same thing with during South Park, because Josh, like, watches these shows live with him, and he's the only other person who does. And then I guess he didn't respond 1 or 2 weeks because he was at work or something. And JT interprets this as, Josh is randomly ignoring me now. Like, his life revolves around live chatting about these shows with JT, and he could quit his job to do that or something. I mean, it's just, like, he's a total, like, I'm the center of attention, and if you don't respond to every little item that I've bought from Fukubukuro and Meh and Loot Crate, then you gotta be some sort of evil person if you're not responding to all that.
Well, I mean, my response for that stuff is just, like, why do you care, and why are you getting things out of the dumpster and claiming that it's, like, some great deal? I mean, I'm responding to him, but I'm making
fun. I don't know, like, you, to be fair, you have, like, gotten arcade machines out of people's garages, so you're not much
No, no, hang on. I got the arcade machine out of a former place that had an arcade there that was still sitting there, and it's in my garage now.
I would say an arcade machine is a little more functional than 100 bags of air.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying Xeonic is in the same class, I'm saying he's not that far off. I would never I would never class you in the same spectrum as JT.
At least that might be the nicest thing
you've ever said to me, so I will take
it. It is, it certainly is.
That's the best you're gonna give me, okay.
That's like saying you're not Hitler.
Now that is touching.
Well, I feel like Xeonic would love to have been a villain in Dragon Ball Z.
You know, what if we went for anti-hero?
You want to be more like a Vegeta than a Hitler?
Or blonde. Well, no,
Piccolo
does go blonde hair. Maybe. No, I just would Hercule be Batman?
If he has all the money.
I think Batman can whoop up on Hercule pretty well. Meaning, I can whoop up on Hercule pretty well because I am minimum wage Batman. So, I don't know.
Well, you're not minimum wage Batman. JT is.
JT is more like minimum wage Condiment King.
Oh. I think JT
fall off boy or something like that. Worthless character.
I think JT reminds me of there was a villain, and I'm going to say this show. You guys probably have not ever heard of it, but it's that Pamela Anderson Stripperella show that I think was like produced or published by Stan Lee on Spike TV years ago.
But I haven't seen it.
Well, they had an episode on there where she fights someone called Cheapo, and it's a guy that like tries to rob pennies out of like grocery stores or whatever, and he's got a revolver with like three bullets that he's trying to conserve. And I think that is probably JT.
Did you see where Cloud was lamenting that he never was able to persuade JT to buy a Gunslinger Girl because he's been trying to get somebody to buy that or watch that for like 10 years? That and Spice and Wolf. And he was like, man, I don't think I ever got JT to buy that from Right Stash.
Well, I know that like Viku was saying that he had that big going out of get anime out of my room sale.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was just like, I had things JT wanted, and he didn't take me up on it. But then he would buy the crap that he does. It doesn't make any logical sense.
Yeah, it sounded also like he didn't feel comfortable. Yeah, he didn't comfortable buying directly from Baker, which is fucking weird.
Yeah. I have a feeling Baker's probably annoyed that I never bought any of his stuff either, even though I put my name on a bunch of it. But I just haven't, like, felt like, I don't know. I just have so much stuff already that it's kind of like, I don't want to buy stuff when I get free stuff for free from Right Stuff.
Yeah, I'm in the process of trying to get rid of stuff. It's just like, no, I don't need it. Viku.
I sent out my DVD collection. I'm bringing it to a local collectible shop, and I'm going to trade it for shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and the other thing, Viku, I brought it up that, like, Viku's brought it up before, is that JT, like, when he was on vacation one time, I guess he has AIM on his phone, or maybe JT was texting him, but he sent him, like, a live commentary on, like, every second of an episode of Dragon Ball Z, or multiple episodes. And he was like, off at Lake Havasu, or I don't know where it was, but, you know, he was, like, you know, just being spammed relentlessly by JT, like, someone on vacation needs to see his commentary about some random episode of Dragon Ball Z that had aired 10 years previously.
Wait, did JT ever finish Dragon Ball?
Yeah, he finished it like right before Toonami brought back Dragon Ball Z Kai, because he thought that Kai was like a sequel to it or something, even though it's not.
Wait, he's been watching this for multiple decades and didn't realize that Kai was not a sequel?
Exactly.
Yeah, even though we had talked about like Kai a whole lot, and I think he'd even seen some of it on Vortex on Saturday mornings, but he still couldn't figure it out. He was like, maybe they brought it back and like used the same footage and it's a sequel. And it's like, what the hell?
God. How fucking dumb can you be? Wow, I think it's an interesting stylistic choice to make Mr. Popo blue.
I mean, the thing about him is we would say stuff to him, like, 30 times, and it wouldn't register, you know?
No.
Like, it took him so many years to, like, figure out what Kamen Rider was, and Pretty Cure, even though Cloud talks about that stuff every day. And it's like, okay, all you needed to do was Google it one time, and you would have found out, like, it's a long-running show that's similar to Power Rangers and a long-running show that's similar to Sailor Moon, you know? Like, there's not that much
Googling
to figure out.
Googling is hard. It's very hard.
In today's millennial age, it is.
Like, dozens of times. And he would still, every time he would say, like, the first syllable, and then a dot, 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 and then the second syllable, and then a question mark. And that's, like, that's his response to half the things that we say.
Yeah.
It's just like a dot, dot, dot question mark, and it'll be something that's like not that hard to figure out. And he'll be like, huh? So really, it's no big loss. I mean, he was completely unable to hold a regular conversation, but
I know.
but he did post some amusing stuff, and I am gonna miss him.
I think "miss" is a strong word. That's very strong phrasing. I don't think my life will be terribly impacted by his departure. I know that
we've been discussing like who should we replace him with, and we never like found somebody, which probably accounts for why we never kicked him out.
Yeah, no, it would have been nice if we had. Like I said, you need more filler chat member. You need more filler chat members to make the chat worthwhile. Because we need other people to agree with our own opinions to boost our own egos.
Well, when you mean "our," you mean just you.
Wait, Zionic, you don't want to invite your listener to the chat and just have a bunch of yes men agreeing with you?
No, I don't need that. Why would I? No one's saying yes. I don't need any yes men now because I don't never have that. I wouldn't know how it feels.
You don't need to disagree. I wouldn't blame you for agreeing with that.
After you don't want to bring back Emily or something.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, I talked to her for the first time in a week the other day. Or I talked to her for the first time in like a week today. Not miss much. But no, I still think, and I've suggested this before, I think we should have it. We should have your listener fill out a submission form to see if they're worthy to join the chat.
Oh my gosh.
We can come up with a series of qualifiers or questions. They have to know all of the in jokes already. Well, since like they've been listening to your podcast, they must know all of our in jokes. So we'll just have like we'll have the reference. Like who is the individual that we got expelled from school and is trying to kill one of our chat members? And like what's the name of the site that like at least half of the chat has been banned from? Things like that. Like I think you could do that and like maybe have them I'd at least like a paragraph for them to say why they deserve to join.
No, here when you say this, I'd rather just have it multiple choice in a voting or alright, well multiple choice. But my thing
can I have at least one written submission?
No, written submissions are stupid. This is doing
it. No, I want at least like one paragraph of why
make
they
it simple.
To be there. Well, no, I agree the simple is good, but I still want, like, a paragraph for people to spurg out to justify why they deserve to be here.
How about
I think anyone that listens to this sentence. 40 minutes of us talking about the chat is interested enough that they deserve to be there.
I mean, I think they should commit suicide instead, but that's besides the point.
I honestly think that, like, people that are this knowledgeable of us, I would be highly afraid of, which I think it says that I should be highly afraid of myself. For continuing
see, well,
the podcast
also,
that talks about this stuff in extension.
I think also what would be good to do is I think maybe we should just vet everyone else in the chat and also have them take this this questionnaire or survey as well to see if they are still worthy of being in the chat.
Let's copy the extreme vetting form that Trump puts to the immigrants, and it's like, do you support stoning CG to death? Yes or no?
I mean, I think CG would probably even be in favor of that.
That might turn him on.
Fuck you, Daff.
here's the way I'm gonna do this like submission form thing, because I'm a kiss guy. Keep it simple, stupid. I would just have like the multiple choice answers, like three or four, but I'll make it pretty easy where I'll have one of the answers and just have in parentheses, just pick this one. It's the right answer, just to make it as simple as possible. To me, if they follow those directions, they are more than enough qualified to join this chat. Because all I require from them is that they can read and respond in a corresponding manner sort of related to the topic on hand, even if there is no topic.
Well, Zionic, I have to, like, if we're using that as the bare minimum qualifiers to be a part of our chat, I think a number of members of our chat fail this task.
I don't see how.
I think you can make arguments for several individuals in our chat. That
I'm giving the answer out. Like, how hard is that? Because I know if I did that, if JT doesn't pass, well, then you know JT's excluded from it. Because you want to ask 100 questions about, like, well, why do you have it this way? Like, just answer, circle it in.
No, but like I'm saying, like if your bare minimum is to be able to type and read, and coherently respond, several chat members cannot coherently respond. And I'll even put a halfer on myself for when I am inebriated in the chat room.
Oh yeah, where it's like 2:30 in the morning, forget you guys.
Well, I personally blame Steve Jobs for ushering in touch screens instead of having a physical keyboard, because you can't, because like the phones are not made for American hands.
No, they're not made for American thumbs. Yeah.
Yeah, like the Nintendo Switch is made for tiny Jap hands. It doesn't fit Americans. They need to just throw away the Switch and redo it.
Well, it's kind of hard to throw away a system that you can't see at a store, even though they're promoting like two games for it.
Oh, I've seen one. They're pretty cool.
I haven't seen one yet.
Get burned up in a fire. Oh no, that's not even a joke. My friend's house caught fire.
You think the Switch is responsible for the fire?
No, but my friend did later laminate the following day when I hung out with him that he noted that he could have gone back and wished that he had gone back and grabbed the Switch, which he did go and grab his three dogs as well as his cat. So when I noted to him that he said upon leaving the house, he heard his car explode in the garage because it was on fire. He said he still would have wanted to grab the Switch. He said yes.
His room was above his garage. The same as a Switch. So
yeah, no, he's able to get the dog. I will say he did prioritize correctly.
He did.
He could have gotten the animals and the Switch.
Yeah, it's not that big.
One of his three, I believe he had three copies of Breath of the Wild because he bought a normal one, a collector's edition, and one with the intent to flip. And I believe the one that he intended to flip survived. It was one that survived. Because the statue was in very good condition.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, the game case, like he had the Switch case. The Switch case was fine. Like literally, like the amount of stuff like that survived the fire, like fit in the trash bag.
Hey, like, Dan, do you still follow Mario the Plumber?
No, I never did. I never really found him as engaging as you individuals did.
I haven't heard. I mean, usually Josh is the one. Either you or Josh are the ones I've been keeping up with him. I know I follow him, or I found a way to follow him on like Twitch, but he doesn't really do a lot of streams.
I was just wondering if he has commented on the Switch.
Is this individual on Toon Zone? I vaguely recall this name.
Well, this is the guy who bought like 200
Rosalina's.
Amiibos. Oh, this guy. Oh, okay, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I hope
he's
really
autistic Sonic fan that like threw his couch and like destroyed.
Yes,
his basement.
I do remember this now. I'm very happy that the Amiibo market died because of people like him.
Yeah, he was like hoarding hundreds of Amiibos of characters he supposedly hated. And he was like, I'm keeping them away from the fans, and then I'm going to sell them to these suckers for hundreds of dollars. But as far as we can tell, he was just like had an unhealthy obsession with these characters and was like in denial about it and pretending that he hated them because he kept calling them hentai and stuff. And like he was like some sexually repressed sicko or something.
Everything was a hentai.
Yeah. Yeah, and Sonic, too. He kept saying Sonic was hentai.
And this banana nose and hentai quills.
Yeah.
I do have a confession for you. Guys, I have a confession that I need to get off my chest, to be honest with you guys. Okay. I never really cared for I Love That Goku.
Oh, really?
Right, dude,
I
just
remember
like,
that you said that you thought it was fake, right?
There is no, like, real component to it. Like, for example, like, I love following Peter Fay. Please follow Peter at Peter's Fay.
Don't do it!
You have a real individual to attach to the tweets, such as, just like my dad used to give out, but he was more verbally abusive than physically. And then, let's go.
Did Peter say that recently?
Yes, he did say that recently. I'm not exactly sure what that was pertaining to. I don't really, like, I tried...
He probably tweeted that at a random porn star, right?
I don't believe it was actually at one of those, surprisingly.
That's what like 90% of his tweets are aimed at.
Yeah.
Or Tara Strong. Now, he's been after also, Tara Strong
which consoles
for a while.
Will this be on? Not that it matters, since I'm unable to acquire any at this time. Hashtag stupid unemployed status.
Do you think Tara Strong actually reads her mentions? Because if so, I feel really bad for her.
I assume she pays someone to. Or like, multiple people.
She gets tweets from not only Peter, but also Christian. So that's like, if you read those, you're going to lose your mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, I'm pretty sure that she's even like responded to Ghost on there at one point, I feel like.
Oh, no. How did she, what did she respond to Ghost?
Well, it was like Ghost was ranting about the bronies and saying that she was destroying the youth of America or something. And she was like, just relax and enjoy the show. I don't even remember the exact details. Maybe she said something to him at a con, like, because a brony told her to or something.
God damn it.
But she some way acknowledged him without really like understanding
who she's talking to.
Yeah, no, she certainly didn't know who it was.
Yeah, that much I'm sure of. But it was still funny that she like in some way acknowledged his existence.
I do want to someday go to 6th Street and drink a beer. I don't want to drink a beer. I want to get Johnny Walker Blue Label. And then I'm assuming like I'll see like a person swivel on the bar stool and they'll be revealed to be Ghost. You'll just start screaming.
And just start yelling that you're a wild Yehudi.
You haven't listened in a while, huh, Daft?
What?
You haven't listened to Ghost in a while, huh?
No, it's been a few months. Like he moved because the trolls were after him.
Well, because of the Muslims.
Oh.
There was a Muslim that like shot up a bar at 6th Street. So he moved to San Antonio, but ever since then he's been bitching constantly, and he describes it as San Hambonio, and he says that everyone there is obese. And he keeps talking about how much he misses Austin.
I honestly like San Antonio the times I've been there. I mean, the Riverwalk is a beautiful place. There's a mall there that's pretty cool, pretty okay.
Isn't San Antonio lefty too?
Yes.
Well, it would be because of the high Mexican population.
Yeah,
Austin are probably the most leftist. Well, also probably Houston is because there's a lot of minorities.
Oh yeah,
but they don't count.
Houston.
Yeah, and Houston had like a lesbian mayor at one point, and they still voted down the transgender bathrooms in a ballot proposition.
I know there's a saying in Texas which is "keep Austin weird."
Right.
Yeah.
Well, John, they probably downvoted it because it probably didn't involve increasing the width of the bathroom doors. Which they need, because Houston is the fattest city in the country, I believe.
You know, I gotta say, Dallas always seemed a lot more fat to me than the other cities, but, you know, there's fat people everywhere in Texas.
Well, yeah, Texas is a big, it's all about big stuff, including your waistline.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of people on Jay Turner status.
What does that mean? You think JT is obese?
Well, no, not necessarily that, just on minimum wage or getting some sort of government assistance. I assume JT gets some sort of tugboat.
Have you seen JT?
I've not in a few years. I don't really care to.
The only, like, really funny picture of him is the one with him and the wrestling women. But,
I do remember that one. That one is quite wonderful. It's on the tier with Gatto mat with the Hooters waitresses. It's on that same...
Isn't there one with Gatto Matt? He like went to some, he went to Florida on vacation or something, and there were like some women at like a biker rally that he posed with and put up a YouTube video of it.
Oh, does that exist too? I remember the Hooters picture.
Maybe we're.
I haven't kept up with Gatto Matt in a while. I don't even.
I mean, I just assume he's dead or still receiving government assistance.
I haven't seen him post anything in a while too. Like,
he hasn't posted anything on YouTube, but he disappears for months at a time, and then he'll come back and put up like 5 videos a day for a few months.
What really cooks my crap is I can't get this thing to work.
that was like 90% of his recent videos. The last time he came back was just like, I trying to hook up Rainbow GT off my bounce PlayStation. It isn't working. God damn it. It's fucking working.
John, don't you know it's 2017? You shouldn't be imitating individuals with brain deficiencies. How dare you?
John, you sound like the guy from Mano's Hands of Fate.
Torgo or something?
Yeah! Hey, the master will see you now.
Oh, I just realized, speaking of mentally deficient individuals, I meant to read Tim Box's article on RetroJunk that he posted. Wow, RetroJunk has literally not changed. Holy shit.
It's retro, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Why
He's posting like articles about Samurai Jack on there.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's nothing of substance here. Ugh, it's just fucking screen grabs.
I think he just summarized the whole thing, right?
Yeah, there's nothing. Oh my god, how fucking long does this go?
There's actually two articles.
Oh my god, yeah, no, I'm reading through the second part. Oh, there's a surprise picture at the end. Hold on, I'll copy it for the group chat. Xeonic, make sure to attach this to
show notes.
To everything. Actually, I'll post it in the Slack. I'll post it in the Slack for Tim, or for Josh.
This is like something he made, this one. But all the rest are just from the movie.
Yeah.
Directly.
Right.
Yeah. But this is actually pretty good for him.
Yeah, no, it is above average, but still atrocious.
Well, what I like about it is the Powerpuff Girls are not in it, and Lily isn't in it.
Well, I mean, it's like Jack's mom is, like, pretty prominent on the left, so, I mean, it's, like, close enough.
He got one Asian woman, that was all he needed.
Yeah, that's all that matters in life.
He got his nut. I'm pretty sure there's, like, a thousand... Like, I'm pretty sure he took a freeze frame of every single picture in this... Of every frame in this episode.
I'm scrolling through the
first like, if you scroll through, like, sometimes it's almost like it's like a flipbook.
I know. It is incredible.
Yeah, it really is. I'm just going for, like, the last couple, and it kind of works.
Hey, wait. This post a like link those, in the...
Yeah,
give me a link to this so I can use it for show notes.
Yeah, this is like those anime manga things that Viz used to put out, where they would put a bunch of frames from a show, and it would be like
Cartoon
an episode
Network
of Inuyasha.
Cartoon Network put a couple out. One of them was bundled with the pilot episode of Samurai Jack. Or the pilot episode of Megas XLR, excuse me. Oh, why is it not loading Timmy's other articles?
I think he had to make a new account because he was banned previously. Well,
no, but like I clicked on his profile and it won't show me his other articles he's made. Ugh.
Timbox 129 reloaded. Try looking at like Timbox 129, you know?
Yeah, I can see what he posted on the forum. Bruce, someone was asking.
Do they still have a forum?
It looks like.
Oh, wow. That's gotta be some sort of garbage. It was bad in the olden days, but someone who's still... Oh my god, it's still active. I just went on there, and there's posts from an hour ago on here.
Yeah, that's really sad. The most recent post I can find from Timbox involves him posting a music video for some classical music piece, and some guy... derailed it, talking about Ric Flair, and kept asking Timbox what his favorite wrestling match is, and Timbox just said, "I'm not into wrestling."
I'm looking through this link, and he writes one comment where it's like, "As they hammer through the human spirit, something shaped like a Japanese katana or samurai sword appears beneath the surface. Aren't those one and the same?"
Yeah.
That was something that caught my interest.
Yeah, I remember that on here we made accounts to try to like bait him, claiming
what
to
do
be.
We didn't make accounts. I mean, Timbox from the future did show up. Like that was pretty wild. That like we had a John Titor moment on RetroJunk.
Lily, Mimi, and what's the other one? Dee Dee. Yeah,
yes.
they were all. We made accounts for all three. I mean, those people all showed up from the future.
Okay, I gotta say, I just found this revival Samurai Jack poster that Timbox made before season 5 came out, and honestly, I don't know why Gendy didn't go with this one instead. Like, just look how awesome that logo is. Like, just there was some real fine craftsmanship with that logo. Like, I'm just so curious what it means. why it's so uneven, like almost as if it was drawn by someone with the mental deficiency of a or mental intelligence of a 6-year-old.
This reminds me of you know, like in Mario Party where you had to do the like characters on the jackhammer and you have to carve out a shape. This is kind of what it reminds me of, is that mini game.
That's so beautiful. Reminds me of like a cave drawing or something.
Yeah, I think that's what Timbox is going for. Actually, Zion, I pertain to your jackhammer comment. I think like Timbox's IQ level is the equivalent to putting a jackhammer towards your skull.
Oh. A funny guy.
The Zango. I'm here for the comic relief. That's what your podcast is missing, Zionic.
That's the charm we haven't had in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's another one on here. Check out my funny junk channel about Fantasia 2001 A Space Odyssey and Genndy Tartakovsky's Birth of Evil from his Samurai Jack. If you want to, I'm going to post it in the chat. By the way, I find it amusing that we've been on here for an hour and we haven't even like mentioned that the shows we were going to review or whatever.
I mean, okay, fine. Justice League Dark, pretty good. Sausage Party, skip. There we go, we're done. What are we talking about?
Well, that's all you need to know.
Check out this image he posted here.
I remember Samurai Jack's mom being in Fantasia or Haku.
Oh. Or 2001 Space Odyssey in the same thing?
This may not be a funny channel for my three subjects are more arty a movie than funny junk, but... Oh, God.
This is such a random article. This is almost on par with his older stuff.
Trip. I'm kind of curious. Like, I'm kind of disappointed that Timbox just copy and pasted, like, a scene-by-scene review for 2001 instead of writing his own thoughts, because I'm really curious what Timbox actually thinks of 2001. He probably just laughs when Hal shuts the spaceship away from the astronaut and lets him die.
And says that they deserve to die or something like that.
Yeah, he's like, haha, robot make me laugh. Actually, probably gave it a 0 out of 10 because there's no Asian woman in it. Let's be real. Oh, man. This is good. We have fun here.
Oh, that we do.
I think 2001 and Space Odyssey is the greatest sci-fi movie ever made. Do you?
It's pretty good. It's all right.
I know it's not like something that appeals to a lot of people anymore because it's so incredibly slow paced.
Yeah.
So my first interaction with it was during a film class in high school at 8 a.m. So naturally I fell asleep for that immediately, but I downloaded it when I got home and I did very much enjoy it at that point. But it is definitely a slower film for today's times.
Wow, he's even got a video clip from Samurai Jack, Birth of Evil, on SVES.
Huh.
And then a bunch of random title cards.
What is it, like...
Mickey Mouse with a broom?
Which one have you ever seen most out of these three? That's the poll at the end.
It's just a series of random images from the movies.
Z is a great term. Well, can we discuss this last question at the end of the article, which is, which one have you ever seen most out of these three? I just very, very much enjoy this. Let's see what the results are. Oh, man. There are three people voted.
Anyone who's voted?
Multiple votes are allowed, so it doesn't even make sense. And 862 people have viewed this since February 28th, 2017. So there must be a lot of bots that go through this site.
There are zero votes for 2001.
Yeah, I don't really see 2001 having a high overlap with the individuals on Retro Drunk. Like, quite frankly, I would be surprised if the individuals on Retro Drunk actually could walk up a flight of stairs or go outside.
In closing, here's a 2-minute AMV of Richard Strauss' Thus Spoke Zarathustra with clips from Fantasia 2001 and Birth of Evil episodes. So he actually made a music video of these three things.
Yeah, he uploaded this ages ago, but like we didn't. I don't think we watched it because it's not good content.
Oh. I didn't even, like, this is from February 28th. Did he put this up before then, or?
I don't know. I think he put up the Fantasia video months ago.
Hey, so I'm looking at this now, and there's something after this that he posted, something called Super Secret Crisis War with Samurai Jack, Dexter, and the Powerpuff Girls. Is this like some fan fiction that he made, or is this a real
comic? No, that's a real comic. I have rips of that. I actually haven't read it. Boom.
So why
put
is
that
Timbox not working out for IDW?
That's a good point. Actually, counterpoint, Timbox should be suing IDW because he came up with this idea originally, I bet.
And we all laughed at him, but then it happened.
Yeah, I know. It did actually happen. And I think I heard negative reviews about it. The Eds are also involved in that, inexplicably.
Yes, and Ben 10 as well.
Yeah, Ben 10's also in there. I've not heard great things. I've been meaning to read it. If anything, Bleed Man should be suing those people. Fuck that guy.
Here's what he says. I know what I'm seeing in my dreams for the past 10 or 11 years. Don't I? Well, in my dreams, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I can see a whole bunch of cartoon characters going off on this very epic journey. This very epic quest, or rather, if you will, this very epic odyssey, to try to save their respective worlds and universe at large from the clutches of their own respective enemies. That's what. Imagine this, and then he lists off, like, all his plot of, like, Dexter's Odyssey. And hate to post this overlong description for you. Don't have to read it, all of it, if you don't want to. But I really hope my visions will come true one of these days. Though you will have to wait and see about that. So it's like, after that he posts images of this comic crossover. But he doesn't mention the comic crossover in the post. But I guess he's like implying that they've fulfilled his goals, you know? Like, I don't know if he still wants to make it. I mean, what's the point of making Dexter's Odyssey when this comic already exists? I guess because it's an epic cinematic film.
I disagree, John. I think this comic, in fact, validates Tim Box's. How many parts was Dexter's Odyssey up to? I believe it was up to 12.
Yeah,
I think it was 12. Yeah, I think, like, if anything, this comic validates that there is a demand and there is a drive for a crossover universe, particularly one that is 12 different parts shot in IMAX and a collaboration between every major film entity known currently operating and currently non-operating as well.
Oh, okay, he does actually mention it in here. I just, like, skipped over through it. And, of course, from farther afield, IDW's aforementioned Super Secret Crisis War series of classic Cartoon Network licensed crossover comic books may provide part of the basic framework and one of the many source materials for my lifelong passion project, Dexter's Odyssey, which is also a road trip, a head trip, a questing journey, an extended adventurous voyage, an intellectual or spiritual quest, a simple clash and good and evil, and it may even include hints of a romantic love story subplot involving Dexter and the Powerpuff Girls Blossom, maybe. My wish for Dexter's Odyssey is for it to not only be my intended epic masterwork, but also be this very epic journey, which so happened to be on so many levels, physically, spiritually, emotionally, interdimensionally, etc. Either way, the developmental process that may give birth to Dexter's Odyssey or something like that will be akin to the development process which back in the 1970s helped give birth to the first Star Wars movie ever made in 1977, down to the totally endless library of myriad different sources and many different influences and myriad different elements. So basically, Tim Box thinks he's George Lucas and then no one's going to sue him because George Lucas got away with plagiarizing a bunch of different stuff.
Well, see, I think the key word you mentioned there was developmental, and I think that's a word Tim Box has probably heard numerous times in his life, such as developmentally delayed.
Well, hang on. You just linked to something thread. I kissed a dinosaur, and I liked it. Do I need to? I guess I might as well reread this off since I started it.
Well, that's just shitposting. That's
us.
That's what John and I, or potential other individuals that may or may not be currently on this podcast, devised.
Oh, I didn't. I mean, I figured I was going to say something about it if you guys want to. I'm just kind of reading this, and I just read Gatobet's response.
It's very coincidental that former chat individual Gatomat also commented on the same thread with Timbox inexplicably.
Talking about making out with his cousin. He must have saw the movie Kissing Cousins with Elvis Presley and was like, huh, maybe I could do that.
Maybe we got Gatomat to admit that at some point, or maybe I was just shitposting, I can't remember. Who knows?
I just like what's great is that his fact that he's like, my mom won't let me talk to her anymore. I don't know why.
That's what he did.
I wonder if that rule is still going on 7 years later.
Oh, man. And here he mentions it again. And he says, I would like to take the seed of the idea planted in IDW's 2014 classic Cartoon Network licensed comic book crossover limited series Super Secret Crisis War, a mammoth 6,000-page film script that better satisfy my desire to make an artful, intelligent, powerful, visually arresting, if mostly wordless, multi-volume, multi-part, 100-hour.
Hold on, guys.
Live-action and animated cartoon cinematic hybrid special effects filled epic science fiction fantasy action adventure comedy romance or so with live-action shot with widescreen and IMAX photography and the characters themselves brought to life not through CGI but through the appropriate technique style, etc. that work best for the appropriate characters such as traditional 2D hand-drawn animation or the like. That's one sentence,
It just amuses me that, like, he said in a wordless movie, but here's 6,000 word scripts.
And it says it's 100 hours long. The full complete list of influences I shall bring to my lifelong project, Dexter's Odyssey, which may take me an extremely long time to bring to a movie screen, especially in IMAX, will seem to be extremely endless. But to be fair to you or me, and that's the first part of the sentence. I didn't even read the whole sentence there. I started at the part about the crossover. So that sentence alone is probably 6,000 words, you know?
I've been digging through Tinbox's posts. I found a couple interesting developments. So there's one thread where he posts a very scary early Halloween treat. I don't know what his Halloween treat is because he has subsequently deleted it. But so an individual in response posted a video where Timbox comments on Lucy Liu, which actually, oh no, it is the original video that has 12,000 reviews or 12,000 views. But in a reply to that video, Timbox noted, you know, everything that has to do with Halloween, monsters and all, is supposed to be very scary and terrifying and creepy and things like that. Likewise, I used to be a terrifying and scary and creepy monster myself long ago, but that is because of a medication upset I used to have or suffered from in high school circa 2009 or 2010.
What?
I don't know, guys.
I guess that explains some of the posts he made on forums back then. Somewhere in the middle of suburbia, or perhaps scattered across many a separate universe, whether they be real cartoon or other way, shape, or form, or adventure began. An adventure that ultimately led several cartoon characters, such as the likes of Dexter, the Powerpuff Girls, Samurai Jack, Ben 10, even Ed, Double D, and Eddie, as well as several others from different worlds, including humans, to try to preserve their worlds from the clutches of such villains as Aku, Mandark, Mojo, Jojo, and Vigilax, and the like. A odyssey of interdimensional proportions. In fact, their epic journey is just beginning. I will also piece my cartoon characters together in a Journey Quest Odyssey epic or multi-part mega epic. Dexter's Odyssey from a big, mighty library of other myriad different source elements, you know, for there will be westerns, adventure stories, and bits and pieces of samurai cinema in here, and pieces and bits of Homer's Odyssey and the epic events described in J.R.R. Tolkien's three-volume epic book Lord of the Rings in there, as well as the tales of Robin Hood, Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls, Samurai Jack, and other Cartoon Network shows from that network's very own classic creator-driven era. And that's like the entire post about the comic there. But, yeah, I like how he basically admits that it is the same premise as his own comic. As his own, well, he doesn't want to do a comic. I think he mentioned it one time that he was going to like consider doing it as a comic first. But 90% of the time he mentions it as a movie.
Yeah, I'm sifting through Tim Box's posts on this on Retro Junk.
They actually brought up Chris Chan in this thread.
Yeah, so someone claims that he is a troll and a knockoff of Chris Chan. And so Tim Box follows up by saying, "I do not know who Christian Weston Chandler is."
Yeah, they said he's playing the Chris Chan character. And then he said, "Actually, I have never heard of Christian Weston Chandler," and in parentheses, the real name of Chris Chan himself. So he knows Chris Chan's real name, which is not mentioned in the thread, but he doesn't know who he is. And then the guy responds, "I definitely believe you," in all caps.
Hold on, I think Tim Box, so I believe this is a, I assume this is set to song, but this is The Legend of Go-Go Tamago. I think someone needs to, I think Xionic would probably be the best fit for this, to sing this, or I don't know if it's really sing as much as tell this in a jaunty tune of sorts.
Because really? You want me to sing?
Well, I don't know. I just,
on this podcast.
I assume you would probably be the best fitting to tell a tale or lore of such a high esteemed individual as Go-Go Tamago from Big Hero 6.
Oh my gosh, this looks like too much words. All right. Wait, is this supposed to rhyme? Oh well.
I think so, but it doesn't.
There's a city by the bay where east meets west, and it's called San Francisco. No more, no less. And it's in this alternative world, perhaps, that a boy named Hero befriends a robot named Baymax. But there's one daredevil girl that we haven't gotten to. But she's the throwy disc riding bike in bubblegum shape. But at last, I'm here to tell you a tale to you of Go-Go Tamago. Man, I'm just warming up.
Yeah, one verse down, three to go.
I need a freaking guitar.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just imagining him, like, playing this by the campfire, just, like horribly playing, like, a banjo. Just,
I'm trying,
like,
to do my Trey Parker voice, where it's, like, I talk really deep and, like, southern. But
that's not bad. I can see that you're going for that.
Yeah, that's about the maybe the best way I can sing it.
Yeah.
She's a woman of a few words whose magic words is woman up. And at least she's a witch and electronic magnetic stuff. But in the comic books from which she came, her tale, she's actually a criminal about to be sent to jail.
Seriously, bringing up the differences between the comic and the movie in the middle of the song.
Please. Okay. Blah, blah, the grass to continue. But as I say in the comics, she was forced to join the Big Hero 6 team, but she could improve her attitude and avoid jail time, and that was the birth of Go-Go Tamago. Go, what the fuck? Two more paragraphs, here we go. She died after some bank robber like a demon unleashed, and used her disc disc to slice through his truck like a knife through a peach. I gotta keep it down. One half of his truck took the high bridge, then the other took the bay below, and his message would go out on his radio. Mayday, mayday, look out, watch your back, be afraid. There's a daredevil girl with disc as sharp as a blade. So the feature feared and reverse reputation was made of Gogo Tamago. Holy shit, this is lame.
Is the mic picking up the bird's backing vocals here?
Oh, is that?
Yeah, yes. It really adds to the ambiance. Like, to be honest, this is definitely like if you have like a pitch reel for the podcast, this is definitely like minutes three through five right here.
Oh. You gotta like make this into an ad and like make Mason hear it on Tune Radio.
Oh, wait, actually, hold on. Very important. I apologize to sidetrack yet again from our sidetrack, from our sidetrack, from our sidetrack.
No, let but, it finish the song.
Any progress on Mason's new podcasting venture?
No.
Because I think this is something that you guys should seriously be concerned about because, I mean, Mason's a pretty big talent. And, like, I think once his podcast gets going, I don't know if Anime of Yesteryear is going to be the top podcast on the Tune Radio Network anymore. And I don't know, like,
don't care.
It's a serious concern. Like, he may steal your whole listener away with his supreme vocal prowess. If they leave after your wonderful singing year, then I would be very ashamed of the listener.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got one more paragraph of this.
We do have one more verse. Please.
All right,
shut up. Here we go. She'd been known for her amazing engineering skills and a fearless need for speed, if you will. And she used all that to build special discs indeed. And those allow her to move at supersonic speed. And when hero and friends need any help, perhaps, she'll be there for them in a very quick flash. And if she's the fastest member of any team, you may ask, she's Gogo Tamago, the queen. Damn, this sucks. Okay.
How many days do you think it took Timbox to write that? How many days to how many spiral notebooks did he go through to come by to write this? And number three, how many packs of eight of Crayola, like the standard eight Crayola crayons? Like how many of those packs did he go for while coming up with his lyrics?
Man, I feel a whole lot better about myself in terms of like even I thought I was a bad rhyming person, but I feel like there's hope for me as a songwriter. That I don't know.
I would kind of hope that you have better rhyming prowess.
I hope too. Yeah, I definitely hope that.
I don't know. I would assume so.
Apparently, this thread did not sell Cloud on watching Big Hero 6.
Oh, really?
This is all past. Thank you very much when you recommend that. Watch it. He's more interested in RoboCop.
So we're not going to talk about anything from Sausage Party or whatever.
Well, we did. I said you could skip. You can pass. You can skip or pass. One of those.
That's I didn't know if you guys want to talk about, like, freaking smoking not weed and kosher bagels and the giant sex scene at the end, which is, like, everything I expected that movie to be.
No, I'd much rather talk about Timbox's. No, guys, let's talk about Timbox's flight to find a TV spot that aired on the Hallmark Channel for March of the Penguins in 2006. He wrote three paragraphs about it.
Oh.
This is on Retro Drunk again?
Yeah, it's the link he just posted.
I didn't even know he had been posting on there again.
Yeah, well, this is a few years ago. So I guess we missed it, but let's circle back to Sausage Party. So
actually, this says it was 2 days and 23 hours ago.
Wait, really? No, I think that's the last time he logged in.
Well, on the other threads, it said stuff like 1 year ago, 2 years ago, next to his name.
Oh no, you're right. It was posted 2 days ago.
We gotta start going on the Retro Dome forum again, looking for.
Oh, hold on. Well, here's a counterpoint, guys. I don't know about you, John, but you. Well, I know, John, you've been going for your VHS tapes. Do you perhaps have a copy of? Did you record March of the Penguins airing on November 25th, 2006 on the Hallmark Channel?
I did not, but I did.
Well, have John, I'm pretty sure you did. You definitely did. In fact, I'm pretty sure you already ripped it and put it on. You ripped it so we could easily send a copy to Timbox, right? Maybe we should send him a copy of the commercial to Timbox, and maybe it has some extra clips on the end.
Why does he start talking about like Braveheart and Mighty Joe Young in this thread?
I don't know. Oh, it's the composer. They just like he talks about how he died.
He says, "I know things are grim now. For 11 years have passed, but that is how badly I want to see it again."
Yeah, so, I mean, what do we link Timbox for the trailer?
I don't know.
Just like have it open up with, like, a vague beginning of a Penguins trailer and then just put something else after it. Oh, and you know what it should be? It should be, like, the Penguins and then, like, one of them, like, pops out of a hole or something and then it just cuts to Mandark and he's in his cape and he's laughing. Or a link to the actually, you know, it'd be even better. Cut to what the song Gatomat used to post, which is a "You Are an Idiot" thing.
Oh yeah,
you guys remember?
Yes, I do. I knew that whenever he thought we were Harry Potter.
That's right. That was a sick burn. I actually should send that to people from now on. Just like when they're like, when they get shit on, just send them like a fake YouTube link and just send them to that. Dude, they'll never like that. They'll just be like so emasculated that they'll just shoot themselves and commit suicide.
See, when we started, you were like, "We're never going to find anything to talk about on this podcast." And we've gone an hour and a half without even talking about the movies.
Well, we didn't even start talking about the act. If we actually stayed on subject, we wouldn't have like talked that much. But we had to wait for the microphone set up, and then we just started. We immediately went into JT dying, and
yeah, I brought up JT. It's my fault.
Yeah, it's essentially all your fault. You know what you did.
Much. Autism is a downward spiral because once we start with one thing, it just keeps going and going.
Yeah, we know too many people that are of that diagnosis.
Yeah, wow. Honestly, I think it's kind of like we should just end the gene pool. It's probably good that that people are reproducing less because it should hopefully preserve the gene pool a bit.
Let me read an appropriate couple of Timbox's Facebook posts. "We have since built museums to celebrate the past and spent decades studying prehistoric lives. And if all this has taught us anything, it is this. No species lasts forever." So, I think he's telling us something.
Wait, did he get space AIDS? Oh, man. Yeah, I guess we can actually... should we talk about Sausage Party?
Well, I guess we'll try to. I mean... It's like a movie like this. I don't know if we can like really do a summary because it's so
all over the place. Well, it's actually kind of like
it doesn't have like a, it like does, a clear like narrative or whatever. But
it does have like it has sort of like a path it takes where it's like we must reveal the truth about how food are treated and what really happens to us in the great beyond, and. They kind of do that, and I know I saw this like through a one of those like websites where they have like free movies on it, and I saw this.
Wait, Zionic, are you supporting? Are you saying that you didn't get this from a 79-cent blind box and Right Stuff?
No, I sure as heck didn't.
did CG link you to a copy of the movie?
No, he did not.
That's what he told you to say. Just blink twice. That's for the anime of yesteryear gold subscribers who have video streaming. That's $10 a month to daft@paypal.com.
Gosh. Uh,
Yeah, this is one of the many things that CG leaked, to us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I knew about this movie, and then I was on that on a site. It's I guess I'll go ahead and say it. Well, no, if I say
it. You don't need to say it.
All right, well, I won't say it. But anyway.
Sengokustreams.com.
That's it. Okay, so, yeah, CG's going to take the heat along with leaking One Piece. So, I mean, I saw it a few months ago, and I was just kind of like, huh. But I just know the entire time of the movie because they set up the whole, like, oh, we can't wait to have food sex with each other. I'm just like, there's going to be an orgy. I know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And so far, that was at the very end. And it wasn't too long, but it was too long enough, I guess.
I'm trying to remember, because I watched it in two parts, and I'm trying to recall what the third act is. Because I know, like, midway through, there's a reveal that, like, it's all that, like, they all get eaten, and the story of them, when they leave, they get saved is false. But, like, there's just a giant battle in the supermarket, and I don't really know why that's instigated or why it exists.
I think the battle happened because, like, they shot...
It's like the food's rebelling.
Yeah, well, the food were trying to be like, hey, we gotta let the giants know, like, who we really are, and then they, like, use those, like... I guess it was like toothpicks or whatever to like inject some sort of drug that like stoner guy had, which was
the bath salts.
Yeah, the bath salts, and then like everyone starts freaking out and trying to kill the food, and then that's when the war happens. And
is that supposed to be funny?
The whole thing is, I think, right?
I think it's supposed to be a comedy, but that
premise is not funny.
I know.
Well,
other than some sight gags, but like, yeah.
You need like some sort of climax, so they decided to put in like some silly food
battle. Well, John, they put the climax at the end of the movie.
The second climax after that, yeah.
You go first.
I was going to say, like, I think the most there's several disturbing things, but the one that kind of sticks out in my head right now is when the giant douche controls that guy through his butthole.
Yeah, that got like a mild like, huh, out of me. That was like really bad.
No, got a mild, freaking movie.
Yeah. I have to say, overall, I'm hard pressed to say that this is much better than Food Fight, and I'm honestly questioning whether it is in fact better.
Well, you probably watched Food Fight like a million times, right?
I've watched it a couple of times. Well, no, I have zero interest.
You told me that you like walk up to random people and start playing it, didn't you?
No, I don't recall that one.
Oh, maybe just to your friends, but like I remember you said like, oh, I have like an iPhone that has a Food Fight on it at all times, so I can start playing it.
I have a VHS Hell folder on my computer with a bunch of trash on it. So, like, I have, like, Neil Breen films on there. I'll go through the quick hits. I have Gary Coleman's For Safety's Sake. I have a few other things. I don't have it on here right now? Oh, no, I do. I have Black Devil Doll from Hell, which is a wonderful film. I highly recommend everyone see it.
Okay.
So yeah, that movie is better than this. But in all honesty,
about this movie, like, do you know when they conceived of it? Because I seem to recall when we reviewed Food Fight, you mentioned this as being like being written at the time, and that was years ago. And this has like all these dated gags in it, like the bath salts thing, which is like a gag from like I don't know 2011.
Seth Rogen was working on this after Superbad and Knocked Up came out, so it's around 2008 because he said it was in the can for 6 to 8 years. The script. And they were just like for someone to finance it. And then they're able to find a small amount of financing for it and then hired a studio, an animation studio that had not done a feature film before, which subsequently made their workers work 60 to 80 hours with unpaid overtime and tried to silence them. Not Seth Rogen, but the other people on the film bragged about how they were able to make it so cheap. And then the animators came out and were like, yeah, you're able to make it cheap because you didn't pay us overtime, you fucks. And so there is a bunch of hullabaloo pertaining to that. But I wanna circle back again to the comparison to Food Fight, because this film uses a number of techniques that Food Fight also uses to get away with a budget. Like, there's a lot of times, like, in like the outer frame, you can't really see what's going on, or like it's kind of like not really detailed because they just didn't want to put the money or resources towards it. The characters themselves look fairly stiff and unremarkable. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, the budget is, Sausage Party looks a hell of a lot better than Food Fight, but it doesn't look that much better. Like that, you would expect it 10 years and Seth Rogen and like a major studio backing, rather than this thing was sitting in the can for 8 years, was potentially deleted, and then they somehow found the money to finish it and put it out on direct-to-video in the few markets, like they did with Food Fight.
Like, the failure of the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie is why it didn't get released the first time, and then the failure of, like, Food Fight. And then after a while, they were like, Seth Rogen's got a big enough name now that he can do whatever he wants.
I think it's more so a combination of there was the risk of, there really hasn't been that many large release animated films outside of South Park. Like, Aqua Teen isn't really a major release, because it wasn't released in 3,000 theaters.
Well, like,
and that thing I've been watching, like...
Yeah, my thing is, it's like, I didn't really expect the Aqua Teen movie to be, like, a groundbreaking movie that, like, it's gonna rake in a bunch of money. It was set for the independent theaters, as far as I knew, so, like, it was only out there for, like, just to get something to kind of cover the cost, is the way I understood it.
Yeah, I think it wasn't, like, that small. Like, it had over 1,000 theaters. I mean, I'll confirm on Box Office Mojo right now.
All
right. But the marketing for Sausage Party was, like, we're the first R-rated animated movie, which is not true.
No.
Yeah. I guess, gonna, like, go into some of the history here. Because, like, you know, they've been making R-rated, I mean, X at the time, but animated movies since, like, Fritz the Cat and the... late 60s, and I watched, like, Heavy Traffic and Coonskin.
No, then he got the Osamu Tezuka, like, X-rated movies, like Belladonna Sadness and Cleopatra Queen of Sex.
Right, but their point is, those movies were, like, in art houses. They weren't wide releases. Like, Aqua Teen was only in 877 theaters at its widest release.
Okay.
While Sausage Party was probably in 3,000 to 4,000 theaters. And so probably the caveat for South Park is, oh, well, South Park's based on an existing IP. So, and even then, that was only 2,000 theaters, which isn't that wide of a release.
Oh, South Park got 2,000 theaters?
That's probably smaller than what was commonplace at the time. Like, I'll confirm it right now. Yeah, like, there's some theaters that had 3,000, or movies that had 3,000 screens.
Okay.
So it was,
yeah, it's hard to find data about, like, the 70s stuff, I'm sure, about, like, how many screens exactly they were on.
Well, that was also a different retail at that point, or a different model at that point.
The point is, though, that this is not, like, a groundbreaking film in terms of anything other than the fact that they got some saps to wide release it, you know?
Yeah,
like, there's nothing but the content of the film that will actually, like, be innovative.
Well, innovative isn't the right term, but it is worth noting that it was able to be a wide release. And this movie did make a fairly large profit, so hopefully we can get another that can validate that animation can be targeted towards adults and not just for families.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that it did that, but at the same time, it's like, that doesn't make it, like, in any way a worthwhile movie.
No, it doesn't. No, that's the only reason to have supported to watch this film is to pay money to see it in theater so you can get other... adult targeted animation. But at the same time, if you did go and spend your money to support it or buy the DVD or whatever, then you're also supporting these people, you allowing animators to go 10, 20 hours overtime without being paid. So that's why I used to pay for it.
I watched it on Netflix. So I guess I watched it legally. But how much money did they really get out of that?
He's part of a problem.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm also not any better because I paid money. I have paid money to see Power Rangers on Thursday in theaters. Granted, I'm get one free, but I admit I am part of the problem.
Yeah, I think Dory and I are seeing that Friday night, I'm pretty sure, because she wants to go see it because she likes Power Rangers, and I'm like, okay.
I looked up the directors of this thing, and they had worked on Cool World, the Ralph Bakshi movie from the early 90s, as like their first project. So, have you seen that, Ash?
No, but I'm familiar with it.
I've seen Cruel World like two or three times. I don't think I've owned it, but honestly, like, Cruel World for me is a movie that, like, I see the potential there. And I really like how it visually looks, especially the animation. The only thing about Cruel World I do have is they made comic books off, uh-huh. I think, like, the movie or try to add to it, and I have one of those.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I found that at
that. Yeah, that's cool.
I found that at that that crappy Comic Con in the town over, like back in December, and I was like, oh, well, I'll definitely check this out. And I kind of read it, and it's definitely there. It definitely like tells some sort of story. But I was kind of like, the thing is, like, I really like the idea of Cool World, and the way Ralph Bakshi wanted to have it did not. It was not the way it came out in the theaters because of all this, like, you know, Hollywood political junk that happened to it. But, you know, I like Ralph Bakshi's, like, stuff. Like, I think I recently saw his, he had that show on HBO.
Spicy City.
Yeah, Spicy City. I really dug that.
Yeah, his early stuff. Have you seen, like, the ones from the early 70s? Because that's, like, the only stuff he made that was not really, like, interfered with by the studios. Because it was, like, 100%
independent. You mean studios didn't interfere with Coonskin?
No, but it was because that movie got so much backlash that they started, like, heavily policing everything he did.
No, I haven't seen any of his early stuff.
Yeah, well, they didn't allow him to, like, include any black characters in his next movie, so he just made, like, Wizards, which was set in a completely fantasy world. And it's, of course, every white man's fantasy world with no Negroes. But,
Wait, didn't he do Fire and Ice?
Yeah, he did Fire and Ice.
Yeah, I need to see that one, too.
And, of course, they're all filled with only white people because they're they're fantasy. But, but yeah, and then he finally did get back into, like, making more, like, his original stuff with Hey, Good Looking. And that one was, like, shelved for 10 years because of Coonskin. And it did have, like, a few black characters in it, I think. But, but yeah, Coonskin was, like, I don't even know what he was going for with that, because it's got, you know, all this stuff that's, you know, at that time some of the critics were saying, like, oh, well, this is a criticism of racism, and the blackface things are supposed to, like, make you feel uncomfortable, that's the whole point of it. But then the black groups, like, before they had even seen it, they came in and, like, started protesting it at, like, its premiere, just based on the title, apparently. So they had, like, the all these people that went in there and were, like, heckling him at the premiere and yelling about how he was a racist and stuff. So I think that kind of, like, really set back adult animation, because after Coonskin, there was, like, not very much that came out after that. There was, like, Down and Dirty Duck, which I watched recently, and Tarzoon. And those are, like, kind of Bakshi-like stuff, but, you know...
But those are all small, like, releases, though. Like, I can't imagine Fritz the Cat was released there in that many theaters.
Yeah, and I know Tarzoon, it only did well in San Francisco. That's kind of like... You know, that Fritz the Cat, I think, is considered the most successful independent animated movie or something like that. So it must have done pretty well, but I've never been able to find, like, actual data, like, how much it made or what theaters it was in, or it's because I guess you know you didn't have the internet back then. There's no Box Office Mojo. Or
well, wide release doesn't wide release may not have been as impactful then for something right. like that.
It probably didn't cost as much to animate as something like Sausage Party, you know.
Yeah, well, it was just how the movies were released back then. They weren't all like you wouldn't get like a million different screens at the same time. The studios would only print a limited amount of the film reels, so you'd only have it play for a little bit, and then it would get shipped off to the next place.
Okay, so IMDb says budget of Fritz the Cat $850,000, gross $25 million US, $90 million worldwide.
That's bonkers.
And then it says admissions 160,437 Sweden. I don't know what that's there for.
Did the entirety of Sweden see this film?
I don't know. Pretty weird. But it's like, I haven't seen one where it says the amount of screens it showed at, but I mean, it did like create kind of like a boom of these films where there were like, I don't know, 5 or 10 of them that came out in the next 5 years or so after it. And then it kind of died off because I guess they stopped doing as well. And with Tarzan, there was like a lawsuit where they were saying like, oh, this is, They had to edit it because of the MPAA, and then the Tarzan creators sued them because it was like a sexual parody of Tarzan, and so, you know, there's always these problems with these movies because they don't have like a big budget, and if you get sued, then it kind of like ruins the studio that's making it or whatever. And so it's just like, you know, if these animators decide to sue them for Sausage Party, I guess it had such a wide release that. Even if they get sued on some labor violations or something, it's still profitable.
Well, they won't get... I mean, some of these lawyers will destroy them in any court.
Well, isn't unpaid overtime illegal?
Canada, so who knows?
I think it depends on the state.
Well, I would think Canada would have stronger unions than America. Like,
You'd think.
I don't know if there's, like, an animation union or animators
there
union.
There certainly is.
They can, if they are filed under the animators union... then that's when they can, like, sue for whatever they want. Because the union's there to back them up.
Wiki says a budget of $20 million and a box office of $140 million for Sausage Party. So, yeah, they're not going to lose money on this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what really amazed me about the film is that it was, like, critically acclaimed and it did so well and everything. I thought it was going to be, like, another Food Fight and I thought it wouldn't make any money at all.
No, it did very well. I mean, you have Seth Rogen attached, so that helps.
Right.
Like, even the international amount wasn't embarrassing, which says a lot, because comedy typically doesn't translate well overseas, but probably because, like, Seth Rogen is kind of a known entity, and they also have all the food characters, maybe that worked out.
And it has to be acknowledged that there are millions of parents that saw that it was a CGI film about talking food and took their kids.
Hopefully. My friend,
there are countless anecdotes online of people saying that this happened, that there were kids in the theater with them, and like I don't know of anyone who had the experience that posted about it online saying that that didn't happen.
Well, some parents are pretty freaking stupid, so they're just like, it's cartoons, all the same.
Deadpool was a hit with kids because it was a superhero movie that was rated R.
Well, there's parents that took their kids to go see Logan. And it's
yeah, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, I'm like, it's Logan is not a so movie you want to take kids to.
Yeah, but the parents, they don't know how to say no to their kids. Their kid says, I want to see the new cartoon, I want to see the new superhero movie. The parent doesn't think, well, what if they're making children's entertainment for man children? You know?
Which is what they're doing, yeah.
They should be thinking about us. They should be thinking about those individuals that live in their parents' basement or receive government assistance to buy PlayStation 2 DVD or PlayStation 2 games and computer parts and focus on that market. Don't take away our movies.
Hey, let us 90s kid enjoy our movies and you leave your little whiny babies at home and wait till the DVD comes out.
Exactly. This is our Power Rangers, not your Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't
We've been waiting 20 years.
I can't wait to see the equivalent of that Finding Dory post where they were like, leave your babies out of this. This is for us 90s kids.
Who watched Power Rangers?
Somebody's going to do something like that for Power Rangers on one of Cloud's forums.
I wonder if someone's going to...
Ranger Board.
I would love
I
to
hope
see
Ranger
something...
Ranger Board just commits mass suicide after this movie. I'm really... I basically told that to... I was at a terrible con last month.
Hold on, let me say this. Like, I would like the same to be said for people that are like, you know, say the same for older anime fans, like, you newer anime fans can't see Ghost in the Shell. This is what we've been waiting 20 years for. It's like, yeah, go ahead.
Zionic, this is what you're waiting 20 years for. Is the main character in Ghost in the Shell even have her original name? Didn't they change the name?
I have no idea. Really? I
heard that. I read that. I'm not sure if that's legitimate or not.
None of that stuff is gonna, like, really offends me. Like, I kind of expect, like, the Americanized, like, what they would put into it. But, like, I'm not, like, a total purist when it comes to animation to live action. Or anime to live action. Because I know they have to make changes to make it westernized. Ghost in the Shell, like, if you watch the original movie, you're kind of sort of lost. And there's more to it than it just being an action movie. So really,
yeah, did the original have Scarlett Johansson basic in, like, a basically naked bodysuit? Pass.
I just think when I heard about Scarlett Jo being casted as this, I was just like, yeah, that'll freaking work. Like, I don't mind.
That's pretty awesome. One of, like, the only people that they could have cast that one would probably not do horrendous in the role, and two, actually sell the movie to a mainstream audience.
Yeah. And I think that's gonna help. I mean, it's far from the worst anime to live act. I don't know. Like, I'll have to hold my
opinion on that.
Yeah, we haven't seen it yet, so I definitely
we'll have commentary on it.
Oh, we will.
Crunchyroll sent me free tickets, so I'm gonna go.
Someone gave you free tickets for Oh wait.
Oh yeah, but that Crunchyroll coupon's everywhere.
I did not know about this Crunchyroll coupon.
Yeah,
you want me to, like, give you the code?
Yeah, give me the code because I can get my free ticket.
I think it's like... let me pull
it
up right
now. It might be a one use. I've seen a few different codes floating around.
Oh, really?
Just tell it to me in the text chat.
Yeah. Fuck you, listener.
I can tell it to everyone on the listeners and then they can all go see it for free. Okay, have you seen this one before? It's Crunchyroll 10.
Yes. I don't know if it's active or not. I know some people are struggling to use it on Slick Deals, but the people on Slick Deals are pretty dumb.
Wait, does this work on Fandango?
I don't know.
I know you can use Twitch Rangers to get buy one, get one free on the Power Rangers in the first week.
Maybe I should use this before Zionic uses it right now.
I don't think that one's that one's definitely not a one-time use code, that's for sure.
I mean, I don't mind paying for Ghost in the Shell, to be honest. If you want to use the
You
key
should. One, I would pay, like, especially if it's actually good, you probably want to pay for it.
Yeah.
I found it, yeah. It's
like Heinz the Bond does not need my money.
No, they sure don't.
What was I going to say?
They said they sent it out to, 200 people or something like that.
Wait, are you subscribed to Crunchyroll?
Yeah, I tried to cancel failed to do so.
Wait, John, did you try canceling because of the streaming controversy?
No, I tried canceling, like, last month when they laid off all their employees.
Oh, they
and their
did?
Manga
nice.
App wasn't oh, updating yeah. for, like, several weeks, and it was just all screwed up, but they fixed most of that, so I guess I'm not going to cancel, especially since they're giving me free tickets. It says mod note, the code is working intermittently and may take numerous attempts to get it to work.
I mean, Crunchyroll's Glassdoor is 3.3, that's pretty good. Or, like, and by good I mean that's really bad for a company on Glassdoor, but I mean,
it's
Funimation
pretty good for anime companies on Glassdoor.
Yeah, Funimation still is at 2.7, which is higher than when I last saw it.
Well, I think there was, like, what was it, DMP, like digital manga or whatever, they're at like a 1. Like, I hear they're terrible.
I'm sure they probably didn't have that many reviews. Like, even Funimation only has, like, 34.
Is there a process that Glassdoor uses to verify that these people are, like, not just people who hate Rick Santorum, like, they actually work for the company?
I think usually, I'm sure that they get rid of the shitposts.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I mean, they don't get rid of the... It's harder to get rid of the reviews that are, like, written by employees or by people trying to boosts the company rating versus negative ones. Because, like, there's a bunch of ones that were put on here around roughly the same time frame when people found how low the Glassdoor rating was and posting about it on A and other sites. It's like there's a bunch that, like, start flooding in from early March or early 2016 that are, like, all really positive.
Huh.
So, like, Funny, like, made their employees post stuff like that to, like, try to salvage their company reputation.
Not really their employees as much as their social media team was probably put to task to fix that.
Well, I would assume the social media team is being paid.
Well, yeah.
I mean, these are not, like, objective reviews. These are being paid shells for funny.
I mean, the negative ones are probably written by actual employees.
Well, what I wasn't sure about is the fact that there's, like, a very active, like, hater base of Funimation that says that everybody has to boycott them because any money that goes to them is going to be used to fund Christianity or whatever, and it's going to be used against gay marriage propositions or, you know, all the stuff about Rick Santorum where they think that he's going to, like, use their money for evil if Funimation gets any money from people. So there's always people, like, saying on Twitter, boycott Funimation, they're a hate group and stuff like that. I wouldn't be surprised if some people, like, posted fake reviews about them just based on, you know, hating them by association with Rick Santorum. But, you know, some of it probably is, like, real stuff that they've said. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it does suck to work there. Who knows?
The company I work for has a lower Glassdoor rating than Funimation. Granted, there's only 3 reviews, but that's fucking brutal.
Jeez.
Oh, okay, so it says that local Unifor 2000, which represents 800 workers, filed a third-party complaint against Sausage Party animation studio Nitrogen Studios Canada because they didn't pay for overtime. I've never even heard of Nitrogen Studios. You said they never made a movie before this?
Yeah, they probably worked for games or were second party or worked like assisted or something.
They're like an outsourcing CGI company or something.
So, who distributed this in America?
Sony. Because Sony has a working relationship with Seth Rogen.
Okay, yeah, because of the... Well, how did they have a relationship with him still after the interview? I mean, he almost, like, caused an international, like, war by making that stupid movie. And, like, Sony got hacked and completely embarrassed by him.
Maybe they had already agreed to it or something, who knows?
Or yeah, it was just maybe. Like, guys, I'm really sorry. I mean,
considering it's animation, it was probably already in the can.
Yeah, that's possible. Or maybe they benefited from that by playing the victim of it all, you know?
They probably wrote it all off and probably made more money doing that than if they'd actually wide-released the movie. Because it wasn't good. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't think that movie, if it hadn't been, like, talked about by Obama and stuff, like... And it hadn't had the negative reaction from North Korea and all that. I mean, I don't want to sound too paranoid, but it almost sounds like a false flag kind of thing. Like they did that on purpose because I know some people claim that the so-called Sony hacks were done by, you know, Sony employees or former Sony employees with a.
Well, there was a movie that Ben Affleck movie that won the Oscar, I think the year before, the year after. The premise of it was it was based vaguely on true events where the CIA went in to rescue some individuals under the guise that they were making a movie.
Oh, you're talking about the Iranian hostage crisis?
Are you talking about Argo or was that it?
Yes, Argo.
Okay.
Interview was kind of like a propaganda thing like Argo was.
Well, they didn't actually film it in North Korea, I don't think, so that...
It's not
a one-to-one analogy.
No, it isn't a one-to-one, but just the just vague concept. Or someone was like, hey guys, you see that thing? Let's do that to fuck with these people or something.
I do think that they did make it. I mean, you don't make a movie like The Interview if you're not trying to pick a fight with North Korea. Like, the whole point of that movie is to insult an entire nation. And to say, like, your leader is stupid and stuff. I mean, that's what baffles me about it, is the fact that Sony, which is a company headquartered in Japan, would think it's a good idea to give the middle finger to a country that continually shoots nuclear weapons at them. I mean, just like, what were they thinking with that movie? I guess they just think North Korea is so impotent that they're just going to continue firing these duds into the sea.
Well, they have internet, so how would they even find out about it?
Well, Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il, you know, they love movies. They do kidnap people and make them make movies for them. Like yeah, the Godzilla people or whatever the that they
Pulgasari, made. Pulgasari? Yeah, there needs to be a sequel to that.
Called. But they got like the Tsuburaya company that makes Godzilla movies to make some communist propaganda movie that... Let me look it up. North Korean Godzilla movie.
It's Pulgasari.
This was like in the 80s. Pulgasari.
Yeah, I just said that.
And then they've like kidnapped South Korean directors and made them make movies.
John still on the call?
Yeah, I got disconnected briefly.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was like, dude, it's Pulgasari. And he's just like, wait, hold on, let me find it. And I'm like...
Goodbye.
Oh, well.
Rip.
Well, there's nothing going on with my internet.
He's on his phone, so maybe his battery died or his data got disconnected. Yeah, but he got dropped.
It still shows that he's on the call.
That's weird.
Yeah. Freaking Skype.
Highlights. I'm like reading through reviews for my company. Pros, three free lunches, free fleece jacket. And then like cons are like astronomical. Oh, man.
I'm going to look at my old call center job and see it. Because I know there was like a class action lawsuit against him a few years ago.
Oh, dude, that's tight.
I didn't really get anything out of it because it was regarding like unpaid time. And it was like, oh, this could affect on Sykes, glass door.
I actually don't think my work is that bad. Like the problem is they just like, so like half my, like four people in my department quit in the span of a month. Which is like 10% of a workforce, so that just like results in everyone just having a lot of extra work.
All right, so Sykes Enterprise, there's been 1,500 reviews. The average is at 2.8, which I figured would be lower. 47% would recommend to a friend.
Which that's still really bad.
Yeah, that's still really bad.
Are you looking something up on Glassdoor?
Yeah, my old job. Someone's first comment, March 20th. I worked at Sykes full time. Pros, great place to work with good money. Cons, long hours during football season. My old job had like TVs on, and sometimes if the managers were cool enough, then it was like, they would just like leave football on like during the call center, so you can kind of like look up and see it over your cubicle. Oh, what the heck is going on?
Oh, they get disconnected again.
I don't know. He was just on a second ago.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. We have to say about sausage party here. I mean, we didn't even really discuss the.
We talked about everything. We kind
of
discussed
like the context of it more than the actual movie.
We talked about the insider baseball. The sausage party. That was about.
I mean, overall, I think I'm shocked that this movie was not that much better than Food Fight. Like, I'm slightly concerned that this movie is almost as unwatchable at points as Food Fight.
So, what do you think accounts for it being so universally acclaimed on like Rotten Tomatoes?
Well, it's it's because, oh, it's an R-rated movie, or R-rated animated movie. We've never seen cartoons be vulgar, because they don't know what Fritz the Cat is. And then it also has the Fedora tier atheist plot point that is very whatever, and they don't really follow up on it that much, because the fucking end point is like the people on bath salts. Like, what the fuck is that? It has nothing to do with the religion commentary.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised more people didn't get outraged of a Muslim person being portrayed as bread and talking to a Jewish bagel. Like that.
Yeah,
like
I thought that was, like, a bit much, the whole... I guess they're trying to make, like, the Israel-Palestine commentary, but it was, like, so... such a simplistic, like... I mean, did people really think this, like, oh, wow, this is a really adult... deep commentary on. Can you hear the helicopter?
Yeah.
In the meantime, I have a message from Timbox. The Fred is entitled. The title of the Fred.
I'd be like shooting at it.
Oh my God! They're coming for you, John.
Yeah, I just found a thread from Timbox that is entitled "The Voice of Dexter is Finally Dead."
Oh, that's a classic. Search "Finally Dead" Timbox on Facebook, and you'll find many posts.
Yeah, the first.
That's about Robin Williams too.
Yeah, the first sentence in the post is: "Attention, everybody, especially those who grew up during the 1990s, an obscure time before 9/11." That is now how I'm referring to the 90s from now on. I'm just going to say that from now.
Jeez.
Oh man, that is a keeper line. That is a keeper. Woof. But yeah, at least he meant well, I think. Did no one even address this? Someone responded with, "How do you know? Maybe things were done differently in the obscure time before 9/11, when Timbox is from. We may never truly understand the customs of that ancient period."
Who said that?
Someone shitposting on Timbox.
Is this on Retro John?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because he posted the same thing on Facebook. I thought they were
looking at me. Oh, he did. Oh, of course he did.
Yeah. He copies and pastes a lot.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
What point did my internet cut out earlier?
Did I
get to the part
ago?
Where I was talking about the North Korean Godzilla?
Yeah, well, you kept saying, "Oh, I don't know what that movie," and I'm like, Pulgasari, and you're like, "Oh, I better go find out what that movie is," and I'm like,
"Yeah, I wasn't hearing anything on the other end," and then like my connection completely dropped.
Alright, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, since we're on closing remarks, and since this is March Madness...
Oh, are we?
Oh, I thought we
were... Yeah, I'm clocked out.
Yeah, same here.
Guys, Justice League Dark, like, I think we spent two fantastic hours discussing Justice League Dark. I think it was so good. Like, that movie was fantastic. I think each of us did a great job discussing the film, especially
good
me.
Good job all around.
I thought it was pretty good.
We can do another special movie show where we can cover Justice League Dark, and I can talk about the convention I went to that had Adam West. So we can
in the abandoned JCPenney or whatever it was.
Yes. There's your teaser to listen to the next episode, listener.
You know, it's going to be interesting because like the town that I'm in, like there's two places that are shutting down finally, which is a Kmart and a Radio Shack. Because as soon as all those, like, Radio Shacks are going out of business a couple years ago, I'm just, like, looking at this one, like, your day's about to come soon. And apparently they've got, like, 10 more days left before they have to just get out of there because it happened so abruptly. But the Kmart has been shutting down for, like, 2 months, so now it's just kind of, like, they're down to, like, the last, like, 7 days. And there's still, like, more stuff in there than I thought it would be. But, like, apparently their discounts or liquidation is, like, 40 to 70% off, and that's still too low than what I was expecting. However, I did go to Kmart and I got myself a pair of, like, Bluetooth Skullcandy headphones for, like, $20 when they retail at, like, $50.
Nice.
Yeah. And they work pretty decently, I think.
So if Radio Shack and Kmart are closed, what's left for people to work at, Target?
We don't have a Target in town, but we do have two Walmarts.
You'll have to send them to Florida to go work with JT.
You know, funny.
He's keeping that job occupied for 15 years.
Funny enough, there's somebody from my church that just moved to Orlando a couple weeks ago. Because he was like, he's not working at a Target though. He's working somewhere else that obviously pays more.
Actually, guys, I know we didn't get to this topic yet, but I think we should hold a brief moment of silence for Roman Mack because due to the recent events of One Piece being canceled.
Yeah, One Piece is off the air after 4 years. RIP One Piece and Roman Mack.
Yeah, so let's just have a moment of silence for Roman Mack.
Moment of silence, John.
Yeah, you were disrespecting the moment of silence.
Disrespectful jerk.
I think that's more than enough.
That's way more than enough.
Okay. Allotted toward Roman Mack.
Yep. Okay.
So when Jae-kun was on AIM.
I actually did IM him, which probably was a bad idea. No. But I asked him about Roman Mac, if he knew like how he was reacting, and he got extremely upset and paranoid, and he was like, "How did you know that was what I was on here for? You're stalking me, aren't you?"
Wait, so, hold on. How have you not sent us this log yet? Two,
I sent it to TY, but then I figured you would get like pissed off at me because
I think it's a bad idea to message him, but because of things of like what happened, but no, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I'll see.
Why does he need to go to AIM to talk to One Piece people? No, that's probably what it was. Is he probably contacts some people exclusive AIM about One Piece? So, probably. But how does he put that together? Isn't he studying computer science or some shit?
How is he studying anything? I thought we gave him a lifetime ban on learning. Or you guys did.
Yeah.
No, that was Cloud. Very important difference.
Yeah, he seemed very mad at Cloud when I was talking to him.
Yeah, I can't, just don't send it to Cloud, but like send everyone else a log, just not Cloud.
I sent it to TY when I was doing it because I figured TY would be the one who was like the most interested in like trolling him because TY is.
Yeah, but no, but that's a bad idea if TY knew Jaekoon was on, he'd go antagonize him and like fuck with him and try and get him to go visit Cloud.
Yeah, well. TY was like, ask him to get on the Slack chat. And I like sarcastically offered it to him and I was like, hey, do you want to get on there so we can troll you some more? And he got really angry.
I forget how it came up in context, but when I was going to the abandoned JCPenney con, I did the Jaekoon story somehow logically came up and I realized I brought this up and I brought this up with my friend who like that is kind of like social justice warrior-y, or like I don't want her to know too much about what happened, so I just had to like self-censor as I'm telling the story, just to neglect some points of detail, particularly most of the conversation we had with him before we started chatting with him. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like internet bullying or like being bullied or something, because Jaekoon was. Not talking about like us bullying him, but like he got bullied in school, and that's probably what drove him to post what he did.
Yeah,
and then like he took nothing from it.
Oh,
from his punishment.
Okay, let me ask you something about this. The JCPenney con that he went to it had Cactus Jack / Mankind there, and since you're a wrestling person, did you happen to see anything with him?
Define with him, like him.
Did he do like a panel or something? Like, did he? Do
I believe he did it earlier before we got there because we didn't get there till noon.
Oh.
My friends who I went with also didn't really care about him. Also, I think when we got there, I slugged down two Bombay Sapphire nips and a nip of vodka, so I kind of wasn't really paying attention to the panels as much as lurking around to see what garbage wares people had for sale.
And also people that were selling bootlegs that you reported is what you
said. Oh, again, you're giving too much away for the next special Moesha.
All right, whenever but, that will
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I will say I was considering going up to Mick Foley because the line was really short.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to ask him. So, shout out to Free Smarks and an Outsider. So, on my wrestling podcast, there is a ferocious debate on whether the Scooby-Doo characters, in fact, have last names or not. One of the individuals on the podcast refuses to acknowledge that the Scooby-Doo characters do, in fact, have last names. And whenever we were reviewing the Scooby-Doo WWE director videos, just whenever I say Shaggy Rogers, she just immediately snaps and says they don't have last names, to the point where I stormed out of the episode recording because I was so offended that he refused to acknowledge Norville Shaggy Rogers' full name, among other things. But so I was going to go up to Mick Foley to have him on video record and confirm that the Scooby-Doo characters do have last names. But he actually did not appear in either Scooby-Doo WWE recording. So he would not be a resource to answer that question.
I see.
But that's my new thing now at cons, is whenever I find someone ever so loosely tied to Scooby-Doo, I'm going to have them record them and ask them.
Okay.
I want to say my closing remark is, freaking screw UNC for beating Arkansas, and I hope they go down pretty quick. So, because Arkansas's out, like, I just do not, again.
Do you even know what Zionic's referring to?
College basketball.
Sports.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just don't care for college sports.
I don't really care for college basketball, but I love freaking football. And I will get partly more into pro football probably this next season now that I've been done two seasons of a fantasy football league. And it's just like with college basketball, it's just like, okay, if I have a team that's in it that I like, I'll watch it until, like, you know, I see how they go. And then as soon as they're out, I'm like, you know, screw basketball. Worst sport in the world. I don't care anymore. And then now it's just kind of like, I really don't care anymore. I mean, like, I might be interested if, like, the underdogs or the Cinderella story thing happens. And I think that's, like, Michigan State or something. But we'll see how far they go. But Sweet 16 starts, like, this week. Before it goes to the Elite Eight. And then... We'll see how that goes. So I'm done with sports. It's okay. You guys can talk now.
All right. I'll do my closing remark. Just as a friendly reminder, if you'd like to subscribe for via live stream and with additional video function, please send for Anime of Yesteryear Gold, please send $10 to daft@paypal.com. And so I will read my closing remark, which is from a thread from Timbox entitled, "Stop It, Sauron." And now for a serious talk between Dexter and Dee Dee's mom with no name from a 1990s cartoon Dexter's Laboratory and the evil Dark Lord Sauron, the Lord of the Rings himself. Dexter's mom, "Stop it, Sauron." Sauron, "Why must I do so, mother of Dexter and Dee Dee?" Dexter's mom, "Because you are harassing those so-called free peoples of Middle-earth for too long and with that evil little ring. That's why your ugly and so-called armies of Mordor must disband, and you are to leave the Middle-earth to never to return, because you are going to the void to join your old bosses Mogarth in exile. Otherwise, let Aragorn, Frodo, or Gandalf do it for you." Well, anyway, Genndy Tartakovsky's Dexter's Laboratory and J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings don't usually mix, do they? Also, cute joke, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I will, and also to add on to this, I'll add the next reply, which is from a user named DKIMO, which is a conversation between Dexter's mom and Timbox129. Dexter's mom, "Stop it, Timbox129. Timbox129, "Why must I do so, mother of Dexter and Dee Dee?" Dexter's mom, "Because you are harassing those so-called form members of Retrojunk for too long with that Dexter's Laboratory /Samurai Jack/Dinosaur crossover thing. That's why. Your bizarre and so-called adaptation of Dexter's Odyssey must cease, and you are to leave DeviantArt never to return, because you're going to the void to join your old boss, Sonic64, in exile. Otherwise, let Adventure of Link, Caps 2.0, or Vertex do it for you."
What year is that one from?
Oh, that's just someone shitposting.
Oh.
Oh, what year? Oh, it's like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I'll post it in the Slack.
I didn't know if he had any Peter Fay tweets.
I burned through most of mine in the chat last week. I'll have to dig through. I read a couple of them earlier. I will say Peter definitely has gained some weight. I'm getting slightly concerned now. But yeah, it looks like he's working as a temp as a janitor.
Well, it is something.
Is. Oh,
didn't he request him a job or something?
Yeah. Oh, yes, he did. I may have said this one before because this is older, but I still appreciate it. "My therapist saw the episode of True TV Jokers that I appeared on and said that I came across very photogenic and genuine." Thoughts? Actors?
I didn't know Peter even had a therapist.
I'm not terribly surprised, but more of our tax dollars going to waste, am I right, fellas?
Yeah.
Oh, Zach, I have an additional image for you to load up the show notes.
This is coming from Oh, no, yeah.
This is OC.
Was this at the comic convention?
No, I went to a consignment shop that just, like, you rent, like, people pay to rent space.
Yeah.
And so I just found that frame for $4, and it had a random Japanese Digimon card. And so I saw the back, and it was $4. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm buying that. So I bought that.
It seems like that it's the Red Eyes White Charizard Dragon.
I think it's the White Beyblade powered by the main Metabot. I didn't even try there. I don't even care. I'm thinking of like wearing the frame and like as a necklace and walking around the convention with it. I haven't decided what I'm gonna do with it yet. I also I will tease that I have bought a new T-shirt for Anime Boston that will make people very mad, particularly people in my friend group. So I'm very excited to show that off.
Man, it better not be cold in Anime Boston because Zeke the Freak might come back and tell all the cosplayers. Zeke the Freak is a persona that me and John used to basically tell all the cosplayers that whined about how cold it was to stand outside to basically STFU. And I got to the point where John took over, or like I basically was saying how like capital punishment should be ensued on cosplayers if I ran my own con. Because I'm not serious.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you figure like in theory it sounds great. And then like I said that and then John took over the account. And I think they IP banned me first, and then they got to you.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh, this was on the Anime Boston forum.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I didn't remember this username. Zionic, when you were saying this name, I thought you were. I think you were the one who told me the story of the guy who just like who believes he has illegitimate children from random con slots he boned.
That's Fido McCoke Fiend from Toon Zone or Otaku X or whatever. Last I heard, he became a monk.
That was
and
his
that
username
was
on Toon Zone?
Yeah, well, it was like Otaku X and then it became Fido McCoke Fiend.
That was actually his username, yeah.
He had like two usernames, but Fido was the one I remember. But he would tell me stories about how, like, he went to Otakon one year and met up with some Asian woman, and, like, they basically just had sex the entire time. And he's like, I'm pretty sure I got her pregnant. I'm not sure. I haven't heard from her. And then, like, he had a son from a girl that basically forced him for sex. And he wanted to call his son Speed Racer, and she wouldn't have it. So then she basically ditched him and dumped him.
Yeah. Wait, he legitimately, like, did he actually want it to be called Speed Racer?
He wanted his kid to be called Speed Racer. I think it's on Toon Zone somewhere. Because I remember he posted about it. And then I remember him saying about how, like, he wanted to get Rei Ayanami plugs for his Shinji Ikari cosplay. And I told him that was creepy. And I was like, I think all cosplays, or no, like, I told him that I think he's creepy, and he was just, like, really offended by that. And then I remember telling a friend of mine about that. He's like, you should have just said all cosplays creepy and just leave it at that and just walked away from the argument. I'm like, yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. But this was, like, this was before the cosplay boom really hit, so then, like, cosplay wasn't really so, like, commercial as it is now. It was still sort of a thing where, like, creepy fat people still did it, but now it's more like you have to look hot, even though you're a creepy person in some way doing cosplay.
Yeah, well, I hope that gentleman's illegitimate child is continuing to subsist, and hopefully not exclusively on government subsidy.
I don't know, but usually a majority of the women in Japan work, so this girl's probably supporting the child that she got knocked up at an American con, so.
Oh, she was foreign?
Yeah, he said it was a girl that came from Japan. That's what he told me.
Oh man, then like, I wish that Speed Racer wasn't a traditional American name.
No, that's
that was a different one.
No, that's a different girl.
There's two. I apologize.
He's bragging about all the girls that force him to have sex with him, and he's just like, all that girls with small boobs, but for some reason girls with big boobs really want to have sex with me. It really frustrates me, and I'm like,
you know what's
no one has these problems.
Just gonna throw it out there. I don't, anyone who brags about women forcibly throwing themselves at them probably is not the case and is probably the opposite.
It's totally the opposite, yeah.
So now I think there's like more issues at hand there and probably.
Oh, yeah, totally.
If there's any lawyers listening to this podcast, let us know. Also, one of our members already needs representation. Probably several will at some point as well.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened to that guy. All I know is he was practicing Buddhism and he wanted to become a monk, and then I never heard from him ever again. So he's probably like, if you ever go to a Buddhist monk and you find a white guy there, it's probably more than likely Fido.
Yeah, if you it'll be easy to tell, because if you say I know your son, I'm your son, he'll just like jump up and scream and bolt.
No, he'll scream and be like, Speed Racer, or something like that.
Wait, hold on. I apologize. I know we're in closing remarks, but have we discussed Toon Talker before? Because he's posting, because I'm reading through Retro Junk, and this is a couple years old now, but there's like, he wrote a romance movie. And I'm like,
that's really? Just one of the renamed versions of Dexter's Odyssey.
No, this is totally. I mean, Dexter is involved, of course, but it looks like it's kind of different. It's. I think maybe he is involved, but like, there's different pieces of this that I've not seen before. So I'm slightly. It seems like
during one of the copyright scares, where he became persuaded that he couldn't do it because of IP issues. Where he made it be about him with the shoe girls from Samurai Jack, I think.
Yeah. And what would be the next step in the strange and yet unusual yet cute and interesting relationship between the real white boy and the cartoon Asian or Japanese girl, and a sign in real boy and cartoon girl strange but cute romantic feelings for each other? Fuck. Did I just read? I like how he says Asian or Japanese. That's my favorite.
Like katana or samurai sword.
The shit posting in the thread is great.
So what should we call this episode, like the Tin Box episode or something, since we mostly talked about Tin Box?
I forget. I thought I wrote somewhere that there was a good quote at some point. I may have forgotten. I would just say Zionic, John, and Daft talk for 2 hours about Justice League Dark.
AKA not really, but okay, if you want to believe it's Justice League Dark.
No, no parentheses. Just make it very clear in the title, but that is exactly what we talk about.
Sure. I might be able to do that. We can talk about Tinbox's Sausage Fest 2017.
I don't know if you want Tinbox to find this.
Maybe I do.
I don't want Tinbox's parents complaining about it. But you know, I
didn't know he had fans.
I really feel bad for any listener who's gotten like to this point in the episode. Just because we've been talking for 2 hours about, like...
Sausage Party was maybe 10 minutes.
Then, like, cash.
It was an hour and a half or so before we even mentioned Sausage Party, for, like, for reals.
Well, and I mentioned it, like, 45 minutes in and just said, skip it.
It was like, yeah, there's some movies, and we're just not going to talk about it. But let's talk about Tin Box.
You know, I will say though, I'm sure our live audience and the audience that's also watching the video stream of us recording really enjoyed all 2 hours of this conversation.
There is no stream.
Definitely was worthwhile to pay for anime of yesteryear's gold.
If you don't
think you got your money's worth, you can request a refund from Zionic at our Twitter handle.
There is no refund.
Oh, there is a Twitter handle, and I believe it's
KK
Podcast with a K. Actually, is that already taken? If not, I should definitely snatch that and just make that a mirror.
Don't you mean somebody else should definitely snatch it that is therefore part of a yaoi or hentai something or another wants to be a podcast, that we would eventually offend them for just existing.
And, I don't know if there's any other AOY acronyms that can be determined at this point in time. If any listener has any suggestion, let me know. Arabic? Actually, shit, no.
I got one.
Fuck, I just remembered. I have more flyers. I printed out more flyers for the last con I went to and forgot to hand them out. Good. I have those.
No, you gotta do one on Arabics of Yemen podcast.
That's not bad. Not bad.
If I really tried, I could. You can make me crap on our own name, but I mean, I'm not. That's the best one I can think of.
It isn't your name. This is called the Cool Kids Club Podcast of all days. But the key point is people get really confused that it's racist, but there's Jaycoon. But there's actually four K's in the name, so it isn't actually racist. Because there is a K in podcast.
That is true.
Cool Kids Club, we put the K in podcast.
We make it okay for the KKK. K.
Alright.
Alright, we gotta end this. Your freaking bird's annoying me.
Yeah, the bird. Yeah,
Shut up!
The bird's summarizing how I felt about Sausage Party.
I'm gonna have the audience think about the podcast.
And!
They get to stop.
Alright, I'm stopping it now. To anyone that actually made it this far, see you next time for something a whole lot better. Way better than this. May not be much of a difference, but we'll try. Alright, I'm ending this night.
Call 1-800-273-8255 if you made it this far. You know why.
I don't know that number. No, don't call that number. Alright. Bam! Wait, is this supposed to rhyme? Oh well.
I think so, but it doesn't.
There's a city by the bay where east meets west, and it's called San Francisco. No more, no less. And it is in this alternative world, perhaps, that a boy named Hero befriends a robot named Baymax. But there's one daredevil girl that we haven't gotten to. But she's the throwing disc riding bike in bubblegum chewing. But at last, I'm here to tell you a tale to you of Go-Go Tamagoo. Man, I'm just warming up.
Yeah, one verse down, three to go.
She's a woman of a few words whose magic words is woman up. And at least she is a witch and electronic magnetic stuff. But in the comic books from which she came her tale, she's actually a criminal about to be sent to jail.
Seriously, bringing up the differences between the comic and the movie in the middle of the song.
Okay. Well, I must digress to continue. But as I say in the comics... She was forced to join the Big Hero 6 team, but she could improve her attitude and avoid jail time, and that was the birth of Go-Go Tamagoo. What the fuck? Two more paragraphs, here we go. She died after some bank robber like a demon unleashed and used her disc to slice through his truck like a knife through a peach. One half of his truck took the high bridge, then the other took the bay below, and his message would go out on the radio. Mayday, mayday, look out, watch your back, be afraid. There's a daredevil girl with disc as sharp as a blade. So the feature feared and reverse reputation was made of Go-Go Tamago. Holy shit, this is lame.
Is the mic picking up the bird's backing vocals here?
Oh, is that?
Yeah, yes. It really adds to the ambiance. It's like, please.
Saving the best for last.
All right, Shut up. Here we go. She'd be known for her amazing engineering skills and a fearless need for speed, if you will. And she used all that to build special discs indeed. And those allow her to move at supersonic speed. And when Hero and friends need any help, perhaps, she'll be there for them in a very quick flash. And if she's the fastest member of any team, you may ask, she's Go-Go Tamago, the Queen. Damn, this sucks. Okay.